I know it's the superb owl game going on in many parts of the world, but here in the Twit Brick House, we're talking tech. Georgia Dow joins us, Liberty Madison, and Philip Elmer DeWitt with the latest news from Apple, Google, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all next on This Week in Tech.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. Hi, everybody. It's time for our annual audience survey. We'd really like to hear from you. It helps us understand our audience better, know what you like and don't like, how you listen to the show. It also helps us tell advertisers what kind of people listen. But I promise you, your feedback is always kept personally anonymous. All you have to do is visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It'll just take a few minutes, and it'll help us make Twit even better. We really appreciate your support and any help you can give us. twit.tv/survey. This is Twit, This Week in Tech, episode 548, recorded Sunday, February 7th, 2016. Puppy monkey, baby. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Wealthfront. Wealthfront is a low-cost automated investment service that is the most sophisticated way for you to invest your money. Whether you've got millions or you're just starting out, visit Wealthfront.com/twit to sign up and get your free personalized investment portfolio. That's Wealthfront.com/twit. And by Stamps.com. Start using your time more effectively with Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter Twit. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Go to Audible.com/Twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID Audible_com. And by FreshBooks, the super simple cloud accounting software that's giving thousands of freelancers and small businesses the tools to save time billing and get paid faster. Try it free at FreshBooks.com/Twit. It's time for Twit This Week in Tech, the show where we cover the week's tech news. And I'm looking forward to this show. This is going to be a lot of fun. Sitting right next to me, the world-famous Liberty Madison. Sounds like a furniture brand, but it's actually a person. No, it's great to see you again. Welcome back. That's your real name.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me again. I appreciate it. And you know, I love you to death for being here on Super Bowl Sunday.
I love you to death for being here on Super Bowl Sunday, but I see you brought snacks, so everybody's happy.
I did. I kind of wanted the essence so everybody can feel like they're at Super Bowl Sunday.
In our chat room, they call it the Superb Owl Game.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more.
Superb Owl. Well, it's just... you spread the syllables differently. It's like you calling it Pinterest.
Oh, now you have to tell everybody. I call it Pinterest.
Pinterest.
And you call it P-rest.
P-interest.
P-interest.
And I call him Ped, Philip Elmer DeWitt. Now, Philip.
Yes.
You have a new gig.
Not quite. I'm close to having a new gig.
So we won't
I'm
say anything.
Away.
Okay.
No, we can talk about it because I'd love to talk about the business model that I'm using and why.
Oh,
we can get to
I'd
that
love
later.
To hear about that. I'm always interested in business models. Not having one, I find them fascinating.
You use advertising.
Yeah, we're ad-supported free media.
Right. I'm going to be ad-free.
Ad-free supported media, one hopes.
Yes. Yeah.
Philip, formerly at Fortune. And
Still at Fortune for a few more weeks.
Okay. And one of the grand... grand old men of tech journalism and one of the best also here. Love to have her from imore.com. Georgia Dow via Montreal.
De Montreal.
And she borrowed Monsieur Johnny Ives set today. She's in
the white room.
I think it'd be cool if Johnny Ive had a French accent. This is the thinnest iPad we have ever made.
How many accents can you do?
It would probably sell more phones.
That would be awesome. It would, wouldn't it?
I think so.
So Genève. Or he could be, this iPhone is made with fine Corinthian leather. Yes. Yes.
Can you do Russian?
Of course I can do Russian. But we have news to do.
Moose and squirrel.
Yeah, I always want to say moose and squirrel when I do. I do Boris Badenov. Moose and Squirrel. It is Super Bowl Sunday, so we're starting the show a little early. If you're just joining us, I apologize. I hope I made that clear last week that we were going to start early because we want to get everybody out of here before kickoff, which may not happen because that's only an hour off. But there's so much stuff to talk about, and I really want to talk about it, starting with, I think, Twitter. Because there was a big kerfuffle, and you're all social media mavens. You especially, Liberty, I think. You represent the kind of the young millennial generation and how they use social media. Is among your buddies and friends and your group, is Twitter widely used?
I would definitely say so.
Okay,
definitely, without a doubt. Twitter.
There's some impression that Twitter is
more. Do you use Twitter?
I do, but more influential among the tech literati, the technorati, than it is among the general populace.
I could possibly see that because people ask me, it's really interesting, how do I have so many Twitter followers? I'll tell you my secret right here, right now. I personally sign them up.
You get your friends and your family, you say, come over here.
No. Not friends and family. Strangers. People off the street.
You're an evangelist.
You know, Twitter doesn't know that until now. So, Twitter, if you're listening, I can turn this ship around for you and get you some more users. So, feel free to tweet me and we can make this happen.
Philip, are you a Twitter user?
I do. I love Twitter.
Yeah,
because you can, you know, if you want to find out what people are saying about any particular topic, you type it in and there it is.
I like the live aspect of it, right?
Yeah.
Philip?
Yep.
And Georgia, you're a Twitter. I would guess you're a Twitter user as well.
I use Twitter, but I use Twitter in spurts. Like, I stay away from Twitter for as long as possible.
Yes.
And then, like, in 8 hours, I'll, like, take a look at Twitter and then I'll respond to, like, 30 people. And then I'll be gone for another 8 hours.
So yes.
I, like, Twitter spam people. And then most of my like Twitter stuff is strange or funny. And I use it for work, but I probably would stay away from most social media if I could. Unfortunately, with my job, I'm somewhat forced to. So I use Twitter because it's short, sweet, it's done.
Agreed, Georgia. Definitely.
So last week we talked about Twitter as well because of Joshua Topolsky, formerly of Engadget, who wrote an article in The New Yorker that Twitter was dying. And then this week, The New Republic, a response from Navneet Alang, who says, you can't kill Twitter even if it dies. And I think this is an important point that he makes. And he says, Twitter is still the best answer to the question, what is happening in the world right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't watch TV, Netflix, or literally make a decision without Twitter.
He says, it's not that there's something inherently great about the product Twitter, but the company pioneered a new cultural form, which now has its place in our society. And even if there weren't a Twitter, we would have to have something like it that was the kind of the dial tone of the internet or the ticker, the news ticker of the internet.
You'd think that CNN would tell you what's happening now,
but it's so
bad.
It's true.
That you do better just dipping your net into Twitter and see what's swimming by.
Well, it's true. You might have watched the Republican debates, for instance, yesterday on ABC, but much more likely, at least among our crowd, and that's why partly I asked you that question, Liberty, you would also have Twitter fired up and if possible, TweetDeck or something that would let you watch multiple screens strolling
by. Well,
it
brings up our point from the last show we did. When you're using Twitter and focusing on a conversation such as the debate, you want to circulate around a hashtag. And that allows you the opportunity to connect with people directly who are talking about something live, talking about a topic, and using a particular hashtag.
So the reason it comes up this week is, of course, this continual, you know, Twitter stock continues to go down and puts it in play for a hostile takeover. We found out right after the show last week, Jason Calacanis was here and kind of hinted, there are people looking at it. And I said, is it going to be a company like Google or Facebook or somebody who could take Twitter and integrate it into existing services, or it is an investment company who wants to kind of turn Twitter around, make money? He said both. He said, I know for a fact there is an investment company who's looking very hard at Twitter. Turns out the next day we saw the news that Mark Andreessen had considered purchasing Twitter. And he's a big Twitter user.
He
invented the TweetStorm for all intents and purposes. That did not happen, but it does feel like it's in play. The Business Insider said that he and Silver Lake Partners thought about buying Twitter, but decided not to. Twitter, meanwhile, has admitted that, well, at first BuzzFeed News said is going to this week announce or launch the algorithmic timeline, Now Jack Dorsey responding said, yes, we are looking at it. No, we're not going to do it right away. What is the algorithmic timeline? Why are people so upset that Twitter might be doing this? What does it mean? Philip, can you talk about that?
Well, it would mean that a computer would be, rather than getting the stuff that people said on the topic you're interested in the order they said it, there'd be a computer that would be making some decisions about what they think you would like.
Like which Facebook. Like
Facebook.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Facebook's done very well with their
But however, that is exactly why people go to Twitter.
Because Twitter, it's an order.
Because they don't want that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, if you do that, it's kind of like, hey, I'm going to use the same algorithm as Facebook. It might as well be the same thing. And people really appreciate that.
I think that what they're mistaking is they think that Facebook's popularity is because of their algorithm, whereas they're completely different ecosystems. People go to Twitter because, you know, I've chosen the people that I'm going to follow. It's short. It's sweet. It's like chewable little bites of information that I can choose to. And it's kind of effortless. And Facebook has a different population with a different group of people that have different needs and wants to it. And in many ways, it's, you know, the techier of people are probably on Twitter because it's just fast and effortless. And that's what people want for it. So changing something that we're comfortable with is probably not the best of choices for Twitter to make, because it makes people a little bit more upset than happy. Because they already like what they're using.
And yet I've heard people say, oh, you just don't know what's good for you. Nobody ever wanted Facebook. Everybody criticizes Facebook mm-hmm. for parsing its feed, massaging its feed. And nevertheless, it continues to grow and grow and grow by doing so. And the folks at Twitter may be having the same thought. Look, because they're getting a huge storm of protest against this idea of an algorithmic feed. But they may be saying, "You just be patient." In fact, an engineer who was working on it, who is no longer at Twitter, said, be patient because you will like it. Now, Twitter's been doing something similar for a while you were away. Do you guys get the while you were away?
Yes.
So I went to my Twitter page and it says, while you were away, these are tweets from people. I'm not sure how this is algorithmic. Somehow they're choosing people that I care about, stuff that I might have missed. And then I could see what's, by the way, I'm glad that they include Megan Maroney, my colleague here at Twit. The Wire Cutter, a blog I pay a lot of attention to, and Tommy Chong of Cheech and Chong. So those are the big three. You may laugh, but Tommy thinks I'm cool. He said Leo's cool. Don't know if he's talking about me, but I'll take it. And then I could see the new tweets by clicking that. So they're saying this is not so very different from what we're already doing. And you may think you want a chronological feed. You may pay lip service to that, but you don't.
Ben Thompson made an interesting distinction. He said Facebook was built on an existing network, your network of friends, mm-hmm. Whereas Twitter was based on a network of strangers interested in a particular topic. You end up tuning it. You have to tune it to make it useful for yourself so that you know who to follow and you get that tight list of people who are plugged into what you want to know about. It's different than Facebook in that Facebook, it's instantly useful because you find out what your friends are doing. Twitter takes that learning. It's got a steep learning curve. And
that's the problem they're trying to solve is that
right.
If you don't know Twitter, if mm-hmm. you sign up somebody, Liberty, and they go there, they go, what the hell is this? What am I seeing? What is the, because it's a culture and a language all of its own with the hashtags and the 140 characters.
True.
And I think Jack Dorsey, the new CEO, has also said we're going to expand from 140 to 10,000 characters. That's also in response to that. So the idea is, but as he describes these changes, it sounds more and more like Facebook, right?
I think they're just reaching for mm-hmm. straws at this point. At this point, they're just trying to see what can we do to acquire users. And I think having the 140 characters is indigenous to Twitter and should stick. I think that mm-hmm. should stick, and they should.
I agree with you on that.
We should give them the opportunity.
I don't want to see essays.
I don't want to see
that. That's Medium.
I don't. That's why I go to the Twitter platform.
Right.
So that I can stick to that. Like Georgia mentioned, it's short and sweet, and that's what we want. But I think we should definitely give the algorithm a chance, because me personally, I wanted to start a campaign over at change.org when they changed the UX UI for Facebook. You guys remember that a couple years ago. I was upset. and really, I was ready to march in the street.
Yeah, but it's now you're
and
fine.
And now I'm fine. I'm completely fine.
That's the
and
point.
Wouldn't want it any other way.
I think that's the point. So we all hate change.
Exactly. So I want to give them the opportunity to really show us what they can do because, like you said, we may enjoy it a bit more.
We don't know what we want.
We don't know.
And we can turn it off.
That's right? That's what Jack said, and that is actually important, that you will have the option to watch a chronological, just as you do, by the way, on Facebook. You can look at a chronological feed, but Facebook switches it back after a while, right? You switch it. I noticed this because
there's a lot of things.
They turn it off again. I don't know whether Twitter will do that or not.
I think that Twitter's biggest issue is not going to be the algorithm to their newsfeed. It's going to be signing up new members and how do they find other people that they would enjoy in their circles. I think that that's one of the biggest issues that Twitter has because whenever I sign up someone that's new that doesn't know how to use Twitter, it's like, well, now how do I find people? And with Facebook, that's so much easier. And so I think that it's really hard to find what, you know, like you search for me, you're not going to find my name because I have to use an underscore. And so that makes it really difficult for people. And you know, so I think that that's one of the things that Twitter's going to have to work on as well.
There's no question, though, that the modern era, when you talk about technology, is very much defined by Twitter and Facebook. Those are
definitely
those are a lot of what makes modern life modern life.
Definitely. I really enjoyed what Jim said earlier, is that people go to the platforms for two different reasons. And for me personally, that's one reason that I love Twitter is you can meet new people. And on Facebook, that typically isn't the interaction. It's literally a place for friends.
So did you meet any new people at the Super Bowl party? Because that looked pretty cool.
What?
I'm sorry. I'm just distracted by the fact that I'm sitting next to a superstar.
I invited you to the parties, but you were over at Twit filming awesome content.
My people didn't tell me about that. Twitter does say that they have banned, I think it was 175 or 125,000 accounts for terrorist-like activity.
Oh.
Problem is, and Twitter knows this, but apparently the journalists who repeated that story don't. So they made a new account. So they kill 175,000 accounts, and 175,000 new ones were created. It's impossible.
How do you stop it? How do you stop it, Leo?
You can't. That's kind of one of the fundamental charms and flaws of Twitter, is that they don't use a real names policy. So you can do anything.
They're just happy their numbers start growing.
Yeah. That's why they did it.
175,000 new people joining.
Well, that's amazing. We had a big day yesterday.
Stocks up.
Twitter is really much more like the original internet and Usenet and the, you know, the kind of chaotic anything goes world of the internet.
And we loved it, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
I missed the well. But that's what happened to the well, by the way. The well was this amazing cultivated discussion group. It's the Whole Earth Electronic Link. It was based out of Sausalito, and a lot of the Bay Area's most technically literate, interesting people were on there. And then it descended, as Usenet did, into Flame Wars. You were probably PED in the well. Yeah. That's probably where you got that in the handle, right?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, the great thing about the well is that there was no anonymity. It's one of the things I want to do with my site. You log on with your real name, and you own your words.
I want to hear about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm also going to talk about the debut, very exciting, the brand new debut of the Amazon Echo.
Oh, wow.
Because, of course, the Echo's been out for a long time. We all in the tech community love it. But get ready, because this afternoon on the Super Bowl, Amazon's first Echo ads. And I think that the onslaught is about to begin. And clearly,
they're pretty good. They're pretty good.
Yeah, with Alec Baldwin, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't.
Don't tell you.
No spoilers.
Okay.
You know how some people don't want to hear anything about Star Wars before it came out? I don't want to hear anything about Super Bowl commercials. I'm TiVoing it. I don't care about the score, but please don't tell. No spoilers for the Super Bowl commercials. No, I'm actually I'm a huge Echo fan, and it's clear because these ads are $5 million for 30 seconds this year. That's up something like 67% from a few years ago. And so when a company, it's a statement. When a company buys Super Bowl ads, it's a statement. One of the reasons they buy Super Bowl ads is to say, we got the money and we're committed.
It says we came to win.
We came to play and
we
came to win.
We came to play, we came to win.
And I think so. I think Amazon buying ads for the Echo is a statement. We'll talk about that more in just a little bit. Georgia Dow's here from iMore.com. Philip Elmer DeWitt from Fortune.com. Liberty Madison from LibertyMadison.com. And I'm Leo Laporte from Leo Laporte, not anything else. I don't have LeoLaporte.com.
You don't.
I should get it. Somebody else has it. Do I? No, I don't. Our show today brought to you by Wealthfront.com. You know, we're all saving for the future, I hope, right? You're putting money aside at least for your retirement. If you've got kids, for the college fund, maybe you're saving for a down payment. You should have long-term investments, long-term savings. And the reason I say investments is probably not best to put it in a bank. Savings accounts make almost nothing. You'd be better off putting it in the mattress, frankly. You've got to invest it. Problem with investment is, well, you kind of have two choices. Either you're going to take the time to learn about investing, to do it right, and to, more importantly, pay attention to your investments, log in frequently, check how it's doing, rebalance, or you're going to pay somebody to do that. And when I say pay, I mean pay. Traditional investment advisors, they will charge you 1% to 3% of what you have under investment per year. That means you have to make 1%, 2%, 3% more every year just to break even. I got a better way. Better advice, full-time maintenance of your account, constantly rebalancing it, paying attention to it. It's Wealthfront. Now, Wealthfront doesn't charge 1%, 2%, or 3%. They charge 0.25% a year. There are no hidden fees, no transaction costs. That's it. And it's software. And they're basing the software on the really brilliant insights of their advisory board. 200 years combined investment experience. People like Burton Malkiel, who wrote the book, you know, The Random Walk Down Wall Street, and Charles D. Ellis, the king of investment advisors. They took their brains and they put them in this software. And the thing is, because it's software, it constantly monitors your account, is constantly managing it to optimize return after taxes. And this is key. They do tax loss harvesting. You ask your investment advisor, are you doing tax loss harvesting? It's fun to watch them pretend they understand what you just asked them. They have no idea. And no, they're not doing it. Direct indexing, all sorts of sophisticated stuff. We've heard from many Twit fans now, because we've been doing these ads for a while, who've gone to Wealthfront, are very happy. And they say they love how they can diversify their portfolio. They can kind of feel like they're participating in the economy, buying stock in Apple and Amazon and Facebook, and they pay no commissions. It's transparent. You see what's happening at all times on your dashboard, on the desktop, or on the mobile app. You could have, whether it's a personal account, a joint account, a retirement account, you know everything Wealthfront's doing on your behalf. And all of this for 0.25% per year with no additional charges. Actually, I'm going to do even better for you. Now, it's $500 to start. I want you to go to the site, frankly. I want you to read up on this. Seriously, it's important that you know what you're doing before you do it. But I think when you read up on it, you'll see why I'm so bullish on this. And when you go to wealthfront.com/twit, they will actually generate a portfolio for you, the customized allocation they recommend for you, so you can see what they would be doing with your money. And they base that on some questions they'll ask you, like your time frame, how comfortable you are with risk, things like that. That's free at wealthfront.com/twit. You can get started for as little as $500. That's the minimum amount to open an account. And I love this, your first $15,000 will be managed free of charge, not 0.25%, nothing, forever. So this is a really great way to get a leg up. Your first $15,000 managed for free. Wealthfront.com/twit. This is technology put to one of the most important things in your life, your investments. Wealthfront.com/twit. I think this is really interesting. I haven't seen the ad. So are they good? Tell me how it's... I kind of have read some stuff. I haven't seen, like, Alec Baldwin's looking for a great idea or something. How does it go? You could talk to me, Philip. I don't mind. I won't yell at you. No,
I'm trying to remember what he did. There's one where he wants the football-shaped canapes aren't football-shaped enough.
You don't want any spoilers either?
I don't want any spoilers.
Okay.
So the hot dogs
are
good.
That's the best part of the game.
I agree. There was a good article in, I think it was Quartz, saying, get ready, because this is when the world learns about what has been the best kept secret of the tech community. Amazon's Echo is a sleeper hit, writes Dan Frommer, who I love, and the rest of America is about to find out for it for the first time. He points out something we've known for a long time, that people who have Echoes, like, are always talking about that. That's a good sign in tech. the people who have it going, oh, have you tried the Echo? It's so amazing.
What do you like about it, Leo? Tell us.
It's
what do you say to it?
Anything you want. You could tell it. It's what's interesting is Amazon keeps adding features. In fact, this is the biggest problem they face is complexity. So it's a black tube with a speaker and a Ray mic, so it can hear you anywhere in the room. So I don't really think I'm talking to the tube. I think I'm talking to the house, right? That's the first thing. You want, like, HAL 9000, you could talk. Actually, HAL 9000 didn't end so well, but you want.
Get me scared there,
okay,
Leo.
You don't want HAL 9000, but you want to be able to. Actually, every movie, I was going to say, what is it, Her, the one with Scarlett?
Yes.
Every movie with this kind of technology ends badly, doesn't it? Artificial
Mother
intelligence.
Mother from Aliens wasn't too bad.
I want to talk to my house and I want it to respond. And that's basically what the Echo does. And it started when we first get it, you do timers and you have it read you your news. Now you can have it read you your Audible book. Now you can ask it questions. It'll do searches. You could say, how old is the president? You can say, but you can also now, they just added, you can get a pizza from Domino's. They said, you could say, get me a car and an Uber will arrive. Spotify is tied into it as well as your Amazon Music.
It's interesting for people that are concerned about someone always listening to them.
Well, yes. Yeah. And the only people who would like this are people who aren't worried about that. But I should point out that it's the case also with Siri and Google now, that even though when they're always on, they're not like sending it back to the home office everything you do, only when you give it the activation phrase, because these things aren't sophisticated enough to do that. They're just listening for a voice pattern.
I think that's what they told you, Leo. I think it's
very sophisticated. Well, they could be lying.
Yeah, it's definitely very sophisticated to listen in. But you're right. It's just like Google Plus.
They're listening for the
Google Now.
They're listening for a trigger word. And they have that pattern stored in there, and they're just comparing it. They can't be sending everything I say back to Amazon, could they?
Oh, wow.
See, my worry is my kids would be like, you know, get me a new puppy.
They do that.
And suddenly a puppy shows up. You know, that would be my problem.
But so here's the deal. How old's your kid?
7 and 10.
Okay. They also have, you could say, Amazon fart for me. And and just tell them about that. Don't tell them about the get me a new puppy feature. And they'll be doing that for the next.
Oh, thanks, Leo. Thanks.
That is one of the, they call them skills, although that's not really a skill.
Like an innate ability.
That's an innate ability.
Exactly.
I'm very intrigued by this. And the fact that Amazon is putting money into Super Bowl commercials tells me they see a market here, right?
Definitely. I think this is an easy way to get everyone on board for Internet of Things. Just an easy way to introduce it to them.
It works with that because you can say, turn on my lights.
Exactly.
You can say, open the garage door. I can query my car. I can see how much gas is left in the car. Yeah. And it will
tell me. It's the perfect market, though, because while you're watching the Super Bowl, you don't want to get up for anything. And so here it's saying is that, listen, you wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
You wanted pizza, you could get pizza right now without
crappy
having to
pizza,
get up or
but
even
you can
use
still
your phone.
Well, and
which is better, getting up and calling to get good pizza or just sitting there and saying,
launched the tweet pizza. What company
you don't
want to
do
that?
Anything.
Domino's?
Domino's.
Domino's launched the tweet pizza. You just
It's the
tweet.
Same company doing the Echo.
There you go.
Also, if you're going to order something, you're probably going to order it from Amazon if you're using their box, right?
Well, that's exactly right. In fact, if you're a Prime customer, and Echo really makes most sense if you're a Prime customer, and you've ordered a product before, let's say I've ordered adult diapers before, I could say, get me more of those. And the Echo, because it knows that you ordered those before, would get you some more.
I think we've learned a lot about you today, Leo. We've learned that you get bikinis when you watch YouTube videos. Your next feed is bikinis. And now you've got adult diapers.
It's a comedic. I always use that for an example, and it's comedic, I guess. I shouldn't. Georgia,
well,
there's some.
We have to go for bathroom breaks. So I guess that would be
there.
I want to take a pause here for
astronaut
you, Leo.
Astronaut diapers. That's what I really Astronaut.
You listening in when we were talking earlier? You must have been.
Astronaut. Were you talking about astronaut diapers?
No, we were talking about you going
to the bathroom. We were. There was a break and we were talking. Anyways.
I wasn't listening. But now I know who my
that
friends
you know.
Are.
It's out. I was just saying that there's uses for that. That's all.
Yeah.
They're useful.
Anyway, I love it. Everybody I know who has it loves it. And I have a feeling a lot more people are going to be talking about it. And I have a feeling we're going to see a lot more skills. I wonder if there's a website. I think there probably is. Alexa Skills. What is that?
Skills.
That's the skills. There you go. You found it.
Well, these are from my Echo app.
Oh, okay. So you can teach it like, I mean, some of it's stupid, like give me a daily affirmation. But I could play Jeopardy. It'll ask you 6 Jeopardy questions.
That's not stupid.
No, that's
daily
good.
Daily affirmations are okay.
Okay, yeah. I am smarter. I am better. And people like me.
Like me.
Lizard,
yeah.
Spock? Rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock.
Some of this stuff is really weird because anybody can do it.
Game.
And I was saying this is their big problem is there are too many things it can do. It's like you have to remember, as with all voice commands, you have to kind of remember the syntax and the command.
I don't think it's too many. I think they should add more constantly to make it fun and engaging and continue.
But now I have to write on Post-it notes.
Right. How do you do that?
What I could do. That's when I use where my class. Hey, where's my car?
Dude, where's my car?
I love Google Now because it tells you. It just tells you where you parked your car. Yeah.
Subway. If you're in New York City, you can see what the status of the subway system. You can ask it about your specific bus or train. When's the next A train?
I want it to actually just tell me to know where I'm going and to have that information and just be, you know, be the artificial intelligence I need you to be. Just know where I'm going and tell me how to get there.
Well, this is the step before that step, right? I mean, I think we're going
Google
that
Now
way.
Gets me there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it surprises me Google hasn't done. In other words, why is Amazon doing this and not Google? Feels like Google should have done this.
Have changing the subject slightly, have you seen the video of the guy ordering his Tesla with his watch to open the garage door and drive out and close the garage door?
Yeah, that's the new summon command.
Yeah.
Which is interestingly
named. Have you got that, Leo?
My Tesla X is on order. But I will get the summon. I did order the special summon command, yes.
Because that's so cute.
I saw that tweet that you sent out about your Tesla.
I'm so excited.
Congratulations.
But apparently they lied is a bad word. I don't want to use that word because Stuart Alsop, you know Stuart, right?
They're gonna cut out your Tesla thing. Yeah.
Stuart apparently had a Model X on order. He's a well-known technology journalist, now a venture capitalist, and old friend. And he apparently had a Model X on order and then started complaining on a Medium post about the unveiling and how Elon kept everybody waiting for 2 hours and he never did see his Model X. So Elon canceled his order.
Oh, God.
It's horrible. So let's not. Don't
so I love you, Elon. I love you.
Wait at least until you get the car.
No, I have nothing to complain about. But they're working on the website and apparently inadvertently they put. So you have a page where it shows you your status. And, you know, it's interesting to watch these people, crazy people like me, because we're buying a car sight unseen, never having test drived it. I wasn't even sure what the colors were, you know, what they were going to look like. But I just ordered it anyway. And it's an expensive car. It's not a cheap car. And we're fanatics because we want to drive electric vehicles that are as fast as a Porsche, you know, Turbo Carrera. And not that I want to drive it like an old lady, but I could go fast if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. Lisa will drive it fast. So you go onto this page and then little bits of information about the process emerge on the page. Like I just got my vehicle identification number. That's a good sign. That means they're getting a little closer. And then next to it, they put should be available. And I like went crazy. This is where I tweeted February, early March. I went, what? I wasn't expecting this till next year. What? Well, apparently that was an error because it's gone now. But I'm not complaining. I just want you to – this is not a complaint. I'll take it.
He's just so excited.
Whenever it's ready, I'm happy to have it, and I'm grateful to you for letting me buy one. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my money.
Thank you for taking my money.
Yes.
Isn't it interesting, though, that there are companies – there are not many. Apple might be one of them,
mm-hmm.
where people just, they don't care. They said, just take my money. I'll take whatever you've got.
You can probably have a safe bet because of all of the, people are so happy with their Teslas
I think it's a
safe bet that it's going to be a really great car and you're going to be exceptionally happy with it.
There it is. This is so, this feature, this guy actually wrote an app. This is not part of the official Tesla app, but he wrote an Apple Watch app. The Tesla app lets you do the summon on the iPhone or Android phone. And what summon does, as you're going to see here, is the car opens the garage door. This is all without user intervention. Opens the garage door and very gradually
Very carefully
backs out and then opens the door and lets you get in. And it will do the opposite once you arrive. And they say this is for garages that are so tightly packed that you can't actually get out of the car once you park it.
Oh, wow.
But it's got sensors all over it, so it will avoid... But don't you feel
that's great. I hate backing into my garage.
Right.
It's really frightening.
I think so frightening is letting the car back into your garage is frightening.
I love that.
I probably should trust the car over myself.
Maybe.
I have to be honest with that. Yeah. The car is probably safer than I am backing in.
I'm just going
to
hang a tennis ball on a rope, and if it hits the windshield, I'm
that's what my dad did.
Jaden Smith got your car as well.
Yeah, you don't know this, Georgia, but I am your father.
Oh, my goodness. You and Vader.
In spirit, anyway. An age in spirit. Anyway, I don't know how we got into that. But, yeah, that's kind of cool, isn't it, Philip? It's
Yeah. If you can't afford a chauffeur.
Right. Well, you know, there was a video by Nancy Cartwright is the voice of Bart Simpson, right? Mm-hmm. She has a Tesla X, and she says, I'm driving down the highway, but I don't have my feet on the pedals, and my hand's just hovering over the wheels, and the Tesla's doing it all for me. I wish she'd said something like, don't have a cow man in Bart's voice, but probably she's not allowed to, you know?
Copyright.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she can only
probably
do it for them.
I bet you they don't allow her to.
Yeah.
That's weird. So enough. We've done Twitter. We've done the Echo. Okay, let's go home. I think the Super Bowl's. No. We should probably do some. We should probably do a little bit more. Jason Klanthis has prepared this lovely rundown for us to consume. WhatsApp passes 1 billion monthly active users. But this is international, right? We don't use WhatsApp here. Asking you as if.
I'm representing everyone. Yeah, I'm representing people who use WhatsApp. I think it's more popular overseas, especially in South America. It's really popular.
What is your age cohort? What do your friends use? Messenger, Facebook Messenger?
I would say it really depends, but number one would be a text message.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That would be a text message.
Because we have it. We can do it. Why not?
But I would say for internationals that I work with or that follow me, they tend to go to Facebook. And after Facebook, it's WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that WhatsApp, it joined a whole bunch of 1 billion announcements.
The billion club.
Zuckerberg last August, 1 billion people used Facebook in one day. Google just announced last week that they have 1 billion Gmail accounts, although my Gmail account I look at once every 2 months.
Accounts don't count. I'd love to know what the monthly active or daily active users is. Yeah. It's probably still very high. I'm sure it's hundreds.
And then Apple said they now have 1 billion devices active, but we all have a lot of people have multiple Apple devices, so that doesn't translate to people.
1% of that is Leo alone.
That's probably true. Billion is in the 3-comma club. As they would have it on the on Silicon Valley, the TV show.
So, you know, that's a nice number to have if you can generate revenue off it.
Yeah.
Most of them are generating ad revenue. Apple is selling movies and songs, I guess. Apple Pay, get pennies per Apple Pay.
Snapchat must have felt like, gosh, we're so close. Snapchat reported that users send 8,796 photos a second on Snapchat. That's 759 million a day. They're so close to 1 billion a day.
759 million a day.
A day.
Wow.
On Snapchat. I think Snapchat is very interesting. I was going to call it dark horse. You can't even call it a dark horse. I mean, it's clearly a huge.
It's clearly a front runner. Interesting story. I was at a hackathon a couple of weeks ago. And I met a young lady who had the most interesting job I'd ever heard. She was a senior Snapchatter.
Working for the company?
A senior Snapchatter at a major company.
Oh, interesting.
And
Which implies they're junior Snapchatters.
Exactly. Which implies this is a thing.
Snapchatter. I'm working my way up. I'd like to be a senior Snapchatter.
Yeah,
someday.
So she curates content for the Snapchat channel daily, constantly, and changes it, curates it every single day, and builds up the network there. So a senior Snapchatter, we can add that to chief happiness officer. Yes. These are interesting titles that we have in Silicon Valley.
Wow. Yeah. Is it for a tech company or a
consumer?
It was
a tech company.
I think for a consumer company, it'd be even more important. If you're Procter & Gamble, you better believe Procter & Gamble has dozens
they're gonna
of
find out
Snapchat
about it, like,
officers.
10 years from now, they will.
They don't know yet?
10 years from now, they'll do it.
Some brands know. Some brands know. You see a lot of brands in the Discover side.
Definitely. I think Snapchat. More brands should be there. Senior Snapchatter. So go and apply for that one.
We talked about this on the new Screensavers yesterday with Dan Patterson, who is working for Tech Republic now. He's, for the third cycle in a row, covering the New Hampshire primary. He's going to be covering the campaign again, as he did in 2008 and 2012. And as Dan pointed out, one of the things that's going to distinguish candidates is their mastery of social media. Hillary Clinton has a Snapchat story channel where she's feeding videos. Well, she or her senior
her
Snapchat.
Team. Her senior Snapchat officer, Snapchatter.
Mm-hmm. Snapchat officer. It'll be interesting to see. I think when we get down to two candidates, almost the war of social media between the two of them. Clinton uses Twitter quite effectively, but not authentically. Whereas Donald Trump uses, it's clearly his voice,
yes.
Not a senior Twitter officer.
And it's what's so totally disruptive about Trump's campaign is that he can sit there.
It's his voice.
With his iPhone.
Yeah.
And run a campaign. He doesn't need billions of dollars of TV ads. He just tweets.
Do you think that other candidates should emulate what he's doing, or is that something only Donald Trump can do? I mean, he is, after all, a reality TV star.
Yeah, I would rather have a candidate who can run a government, you know?
You don't want a candidate who knows how to use Twitter well?
Not necessarily. I mean, ideally, they can do both. But first, I think, to get the job, you have to know how to run a government.
Oh,
definitely want someone who knows how to use Twitter, because, again, that brings us to the importance of Twitter. And we had that conversation earlier, how Twitter is a part of our culture. And if we have a candidate that can effectively use Twitter, they can effectively connect with the immediate pulse of the culture.
See, what we're hearing here is, and it's really interesting, is the two sides of the spectrum. Some who feel that the president should be an administrator who is a capable a governor style person who can run the country, an executive officer, versus a leader who is able to galvanize the country and keep the country moving. And I guess we probably need a little bit of both, but I think that's two different, very different kinds of presidents, very different kinds of executives. But I think historically you need to do both. Although Kennedy was probably a crappy administrator, but it was a great speaker.
Yeah, he did know how to get stuff through Congress. He's kind of like Obama that way. Whereas Johnson
was the opposite.
He knew how to get stuff through Congress, but he was a liar.
Yeah, nobody trusted him, and he was very maladroit at managing his image. Who can forget the picture of him showing his appendix scar, and then the Vietnam protesters turn it into a picture of Vietnam?
Ted Cruz kind of channels Johnson.
Lyndon Johnson. Actually, I don't know who Marco Rubio is channeling last night, but there's a whole internet meme of Marco the robot. Have you seen this?
I have not seen it. let's get that on the screen. I've not seen it.
Because he kept saying the same thing over and over again?
Four times said the same stump quote or a variation of the same stump quote. And now the meme is, in fact, is Robot Rubio. In fact, I think there is a Robot Rubio Twitter account.
He said the same thing without an edit effect, just him saying the same thing.
Well, you want to see it?
I would love to see it.
If you missed it.
It was after Christie called him on it. Christie said, this guy just repeats campaign lines, and then he did it again.
That's the funny thing, is he kind of played right into that. Here's
that Barack Obama.
Wait, let's get the beginning because we missed the audio.
Let's dispel once and for all with this fiction that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing.
First,
he knows exactly what he's doing.
First time.
We are not facing a president that doesn't know what he's doing. He knows what he is doing.
Second time.
Let's dispel with this fiction that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's
Third
doing.
Third time.
Anyone who believes that Barack Obama isn't doing what he's doing on purpose doesn't understand what we're dealing with here.
So there is now a Mario Rubio glitch Twitter account. that says the same thing over and over. Let's dispel this fiction that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. See, this is why we have to have Twitter.
That's exactly why. I would just say he's very passionate about it. He said it how many times? Four?
I kind of bleed for the guy because you know what happens. You're in this very stressful situation. Somebody's just accused you of being a repetitive robot, and then you somehow cannot stop yourself from becoming what he's accused you of being. I feel for the guy. He was, by the end of the thing, he was sweating. He was dying out there.
You know, imagine what it's like for them. They do this all day long,
yeah,
giving the same speech over and over
exactly
and over again. They're moving in this bubble. And, you know, nobody. It's very hard to survive that. And people who are very good at campaigning have a hard time.
Well, and I would submit it is not a good test of who's going to be a good president because
it's
who's the best psychopath.
I would say that's one of the downsides of social media is when you're running through a campaign is the memes.
Memes will kill you.
It'll kill you. Definitely.
Wasn't there a Clinton meme of her sending texts? Because there's a picture of her kind of looking over her glasses at her BlackBerry. I think there was a whole Tumblr on this. Oh, I tell you. At least text. It is. Texts from Hillary.tumblr.com. And I guess it's just there she is. That's the picture. And then of course they keep the whole meme thread is that you will show what she's texting. So there's Biden to showing the president his phone. She's gonna love this new Justin Bieber video, and then she texts back to them, back to work, boys. And Huffington Post Hillary, HillaryPost.com. Mark Zuckerberg, guess what I just bought? Hillary, a shirt with a big boy collar. That's good, isn't it? Now, is that good for her or bad for her? It's good for her, isn't it?
I think it definitely keeps her relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely keeps her relevant.
But you're right. This is what the candidates probably fear. And we saw, I mean, it's not new. We saw it with Mike Dukakis when he wore the giant tank helmet. And he looked like a small child in a tank. And it tanked his campaign.
Who's the guy who screamed?
Howard Dean.
Oh, God.
It's all about the meme.
They're calling Robot Rubio the Howard Dean moment in the Rubio campaign.
Mm. Mm.
It's such a hard thing because you're always wanting to be authentic. But then if you say something off the cuff and it comes out off color, people are going to run with it. And it's so hard to be constantly under a barrage of questions and people hoping to get you with something.
Definitely.
And you're just doing your best to try not to say something silly, but then you don't want to seem robotic and stiff at the same time. So my hat's off to being able to deal with that 24/7.
It's a perfect storm of spin media and soundbite coverage, mm-hmm, and you're in such it's such an abnormal environment. I guess some of those skills might be useful as president, but more towards the ability to inspire part than the executive administrator part, for sure.
I think you can also see when people are overly reactive, and I think that that's really important to be more non-reactive as a president. You
that's
don't
a good
want
point.
To be really upset and quick to temper and quick to get offended when you're dealing with international issues and many different people with different cultural needs and wants. And so I think that things that might garner a lot of attention in some ways are a way of seeing who can be calm under all of this pressure.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's interesting that she's saying you can't be quick to react. Can you imagine the president of the United States in some sort of Twitter beef?
But I can't. If it's President Trump, I can totally imagine that. Yeah. I can see Trump pulling
a Kanye.
Is that
what we have to look forward to?
I can see that totally.
Yeah, some sort of Twitter beef, and then we can chime in on it and like create our own hashtag and memes about
the
other country.
Don't you kind of want that?
Can we do that?
No. No, that's bad. That's bad when people have weapons. That's fine.
Yeah,
if
the weapon thing. That does
you're
get
fighting
involved.
With someone that can't reach you, but... You know, when you're representing a whole country of people, you want someone that's going to be even-tempered, be able to handle it, think before they do something. They're not going to press the red button just out of anger.
But don't you, I mean, I have to really say that by being the only guy who's speaking in his own voice on Twitter, mm-hmm, Trump's getting a huge value out of that. I mean, definitely. That's one of the reasons he has such support. Not, I doubt very much that the people who support him agree with the notion that he should go down Fifth Avenue shooting people. But the fact that he has the chutzpah to say that is I think, invigorating to people. It's fresh.
Definitely.
The guy speaks his mind. I may not always agree with him, but the man is not a mealy-mouthed politician. He says what he thinks.
Yeah, it's the anti-politician.
He's authentic.
He's authentic. The anti-politician.
Yeah.
Is that bad?
I personally, no, I'm behind
that.
I
think it's great, but I think that the fact of his level of reactiveness, I think that when it comes down to, you know, really being president, could be something that people will have to pause.
But we do swing, and you know, President Obama is kind of icy, right? He's chilly,
professorial.
You could tell he's very calm. You can't see him really raising his voice very much.
Mm-hmm.
He shed a little tear, but that's about it. I could see that after a while, you'd say, "Hey, I want somebody who speaks in his own voice on Twitter, and tells it like it is." And I think that Twitter is the perfect platform for Donald Trump.
Definitely. He's the only person that I've seen that wasn't necessarily afraid of the social media police coming to get him.
Because he doesn't care.
No, doesn't care.
That's true.
But Lee, if you think President Obama doesn't know what he's doing, well, he knows what he's doing.
thank you, Jason Kleanthis. Or we like to call him the Jason Bot. All right, we'll take a break, come back with more. We're having fun talking about the world at large with Georgia Dow from iMore.com. Stephen Harper was also kind of a cold fish, right? And Trudeau is a little bit more warm and effusive and real. Your new prime minister.
Yeah, we're pretty impressed with him. So we're all very happy.
Kind of the same thing, right? Because Harper was an effective administrator.
I guess that would depend where
not getting
you,
political. Not
you
getting
stand
political.
On it. He was kind of like the Lego guy. He's got the Lego hair.
Right.
He
was
kind
of the manufacturer candidate.
Yes.
And then Trudeau kind of as a youthful, you know, like his dad, kind of swinger.
Can you do that dance again? There we go.
also, Liberty Madison is here. It's great to have you. LibertyMadison.com. You make a business of helping startups with this stuff, right? With social media and all of this stuff.
Well, in general, just with millennials and tech and getting them interested to learn hardcore.
I love your t-shirt. It says, "I code," and it's got a little.
That's a GitHub love shirt. Yeah.
That cat with the octopus cat. That's means love.
Yes.
I didn't know that. I just thought it was an octopus cat.
Actually, it's just the GitHub logo.
Okay. I code. I GitHub code. I Git code.
I commit
the Git. Also here, Philip Elmer DeWitt from the Git. What is the new site going to be? Can you talk about that, or is that?
Yeah, I can talk about it a little bit. I don't have I'm discovering the limits of WordPress and how hard it is to make anything look good on it. But
boy, I wish I had a Squarespace ad right now.
Yeah. The plan is to do it's the model that a lot of guys like me are doing. $10 a month, $100 a year. You get the daily post in your inbox. You click on the link and you get to be part of the conversation and see the data and so forth.
That's what Ben Thompson does so effectively.
Right, exactly. The problem with that model is that once you go behind the firewall, you're invisible on the internet. So Ben gets around that by writing a public post once a week. There are other ways of doing that. My twist on it is that I'll put a window on it. It's behind the paywall for – it's adjustable, but behind the paywall for 3 days, and then it's free.
Oh, I like that.
We'll see
if it
works.
So it all ends up being free.
Right.
But the people who could most benefit from it, and really the money in paywalls is from, you know, the people who do well are Financial Times, Wall Street Journal, where the information is money crowd.
Right. And the sweet spot of my readership has always been people who bought Apple at $9 a share, and now they're multimillionaires, and they really watch the fever chart really closely. Yeah. They want to know if it's time to buy or to sell. And to the extent to which I have access to the analysts and share their stuff, there's a timely value to what I do. I hope we'll find out. You know, I've been in ad supported environments for 36 years.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to finally find out if what I write is worth something without the ads, because the ads are just driving me nuts. It's terrible.
It's a fascinating experiment, one I've wanted to do myself. Dvorak always said we should have a paid newsletter where the really good stuff, you know, the stuff that's going to make people money lives, and people would pay a lot of money for that.
I think that's an excellent business model.
Yeah, definitely. I'm too lazy. We did a newsletter, and we give it away. twit.tv/newsletter. We give it away. What am I thinking? Mm. I'm an old dog. I can't learn new tricks. The thing that scares me about paywalls, particularly with our audience is technically very literate. Dignation had this problem. Dignation for a while thought, we'll charge for early access. Remember Kevin Rose's and Alex Albrecht's podcast? Yeah. We'll charge for early access. And then a few days later, or whatever it was, we'll make it public.
Oh, they did that.
Yeah. And the problem was that they have a very technically literate audience that as soon as they got it, put it out publicly, and there was no way to stop it. So suddenly, if you're going to make money in that model, you're playing whack-a-mole. And I think Kevin and Alex abandoned it. I don't think that it lasted very long. But that's the problem when you have a smart audience.
What's your audience demographic, Philip?
A smart and ethically challenged audience. No, I think your audience is different.
What's your audience?
I think your audience is different. I think the Wall Street Journal's audience is different. I pay for the Wall Street Journal. People who pay for the Wall Street Journal pay for it because it's worth it. They're not interested in like, oh, I'm going to put it on BitTorrent, make sure everybody gets it for free. That's a different audience.
Yeah, I think this is a great opportunity for him to test out his entrepreneurship.
I love it.
I love it.
I want you to do it, and I'll be watching with interest. I said the same thing to Jessica Lessen when she started The Information, and I think they're succeeding, right?
I'd love to see her financials.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She took some of the best technology journalists out of free media, and I pay $400 a year for The Information because it's worth it. And also to support Jessica because I feel like that's a good thing. Same thing. I pay for Ben's. I buy more of these than I should. Mostly, same reason I bought all that shareware that I use because I want to support these people. Because I think what they're doing is great, and I will be your first subscriber, Philip.
I think it goes to your tribe.
Yeah,
definitely.
Sign me up.
Okay.
Our show today brought, and this is how we pay for it. Show today brought to you by. I don't mind the ads we do. I agree with you. I think ads are out of control on the internet, and you know I do broadcast radio where the limit, the federal communications limit, is 19 minutes out of an hour can be ads. And I don't know a single AM station that doesn't run 19 minutes an hour of ads. In fact, they even invented, you know, kind of a blipfert kind of ad, a 10-second or a 5. They have 5-second ads now on some of these radio stations that I'm on, where they just say one word, you know. Don't forget DraftKings.com. And then win big money, DraftKings.com. And then it's all over. And it becomes wallpaper after a while. I don't think it's an effective way to use the medium. And I don't blame people for using ad blockers because it's out of control.
I can't even believe people still think that's an effective way to connect with an audience.
Now, that's another question
that
entirely.
That just blows my mind, definitely.
Doc Searles wrote a great article. In fact, maybe we'll talk about it a little bit then when we come back about this, how misguided ad tech is. Doc, who's also an old radio guy and wrote the Clue, was one of the writers of the Clue Train Manifesto, is really a brilliant fella, says that this ad blocking thing is actually one of the largest consumer boycotts of all time. It's a boycott, he says.
Really?
And it is, isn't it? It's consumers saying, yeah, hey, we're not going to take it.
They took advantage of us, and now we're getting rid of them.
So skip this ad if you wish. But I'd love you to, I'll tell you what, you couldn't skip this ad. If you do not mail stuff in your business, then there's no reason for you to listen to this ad. But if you are an Etsy seller or Amazon or eBay seller, if you do brochures, if you do fulfillment in your business, if you mail stuff out, you really ought to know about stamps.com. We use it here in the office because it is a better way to use the postal service. With Stamps.com, it starts by, and we always talk about the idea that you can buy and print your own U.S. postage on your computer, your printer. You don't need a postage meter. You can do it online. That's the beginning. But really, Stamps.com is so much more, because Stamps.com will print right on the envelope not only the postage, but your address, the return address, and the address of the recipient. They'll put your company logo. They'll do it on a package, any kind of mail, media mail. If you send any kind of media, books, DVDs, CDs, and you're not using media mail, Stamps.com will say, you know, that you could save a lot of money. Here's how the media mail works. It is going to save you money. And you, plus, you get discounts you can't get at the post office. You don't have to ever go to the post office. Because everything you could do at the post office, you could do at your desk with Stamps.com. And that's why, if you're in this business, if you are mailing stuff at work, you need to know about Stamps.com. You don't have to handwrite forms anymore. Stamps.com will print out the certified mail, the return receipt, even international customs forms automatically filled out from your site, your address book. It works with all popular address books. You can use cost codes to track postage spending by customer. I mean, there's so many features. This is the way mailing ought to be. So if you're in this business, here's what you do. You go to Stamps.com. Now, one of the things we like to do with all our advertisers, if we can, we never did this with Ford because we couldn't figure out a way to get you a free car. But we'd like to give you a free trial of this. In this case, 30-day free trial, 4 weeks. This is actually a nice offer. It's a $110 bonus offer. It includes not only a four-week trial of Stamps.com, you get $55 in free postage that you can use. You have to spread it out over a few months, but that's free postage. Plus, we're going to send you a digital scale. Now, that's great because it's USB. It plugs into your computer, so you never over or underpay on postage again. There's Carly using our Stamps.com scale. This is actually the kit you'll get from Stamps.com. You also get an activities kit. This is a great deal. Go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and use the promo code TWIT for a $110 bonus offer and a free trial of Stamps.com. Sesame Street is launching a venture arm.
Finally.
Well, it's about time.
Finally. Yes.
Children's Television Workshop, which really changed the way kids' TV was. You're a Sesame Street generation kid. I know you are.
You know, I watched it. I don't remember it.
You really don't? I love Sesame Street. Muppets for the win. I'm like,
yeah.
If there's a Muppet, I'm involved.
Everybody of a certain age learned to read from Sesame Street, or at least learned their alphabet. Not me. I had Captain Kangaroo.
Buffalo Bob.
Buffalo Bob and Howdy Doody. Yeah, yeah. Philip and I are of a certain era.
Clarabelle
the clown. That was Bob Keeshan. That was Captain Kangaroo before he was Captain Kangaroo. Now we've lost the entire audience.
Yeah, right. Let's go back to Trump.
We're back to the adult diaper audience.
So the kids are going to invest? Is that the idea?
Okay, so Sesame Street started in 1966. It's amazing. It's that old. And generations now, not just one, multiple generations have grown up watching Big Bird and Elmo and Bert and Ernie. Show first aired in 69. So that's, 45, 46 years. They're actually getting kind of sophisticated. They started debuting now Sesame Street on HBO.
Mm. Yeah.
Interesting. HBO. But it'll eventually get to free TV, right? But they're going to start on the paid TV.
Like 6 months later or something.
It's the Philip Elmer DeWitt model. We're going to call it the PED model from now on.
Okay.
They've created a venture fund, Sesame Ventures. It's going to partner with venture capital firms to make investments in for-profit startups, but they'll all be about children's education,
kind
early
of kid
education.
Tech or ed tech.
Yeah. Its first partner is Collaborative Fund, an early stage investor in startups like Lyft and Kickstarter. And they're going to have a $10 million fund called Collab Plus Sesame Investment Focus. You know, from a group that taught people how to read, that is a particularly crappy name. Collab Plus Sesame Investment Focus.
That is a pretty bad name.
Today's show brought to you by the letter CSIF. But it's about education, and we all are for early childhood education. So,
and there are a lot of startups that are focused on ed tech.
When a product says, you know, or a company says, backed by Elmo, that's a huge push.
It's a little weird because I think Children's Television Workshop is a nonprofit, but this would fund it. I mean, you know, if they've been doing this since 1969, they've spent a considerable amount of effort in raising money to do it, right? So why not? Why not make some money doing this? I don't know.
Super Bowl.
What about it? Is it starting?
It's the, well, there's a lot of cheerleaders and some football players around the field. I've got to say, the kids have been watching a lot of old Friday Night Lights around here.
Oh, that's a great show.
And, you know, the Panthers and the Broncos, Coach Taylor really brought this team a long way. He took them all the way to the Super Bowl.
What is it?
The Dillon Panthers, that is.
The Dillon Panther. What is it? Clear hearts.
Clear eyes. Full hearts.
Full hearts.
Can't lose.
Full hearts. Clear eyes.
Can't lose.
Yeah.
So CBS is streaming this. This is not the first time they've streamed it, but it is available for free on the internet. And if you want to watch it on a mobile device, again, they have the Verizon exclusive. You have to be a Verizon customer.
That's fantastic.
And what they're doing right now is a countdown to kickoff because their live stream doesn't have any ads on it. They could, I guess, with $5 million, that only gets you 30 seconds on television. That doesn't get you the ads.
The Broncos had a horse leading the charge.
Oh, that's nice. Well, no, wait a minute. Now we're seeing, I think we're seeing the...
How far
behind TV is this?
About 5-10 seconds.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, there's the horse. There's the flag.
I think I'm in trouble now. I probably can't show this on the internet. But this is recovering news. Here's a test of fair use, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to watch the Super Bowl. All I know is... Joe Namath wins! That's all I know.
You know what's really interesting? I wonder if tech people really know who's playing in the Super Bowl. What's going on in the Super Bowl? So we went to the streets and interviewed.
Did you?
We did. We went to the streets.
Who'd you do this for?
I did this for That Tech Girl. If you go to That Tech Girl, and you can actually, I think we've got it queued up here on YouTube. And we found an engineer over at Airbnb.
Who actually knew?
Oh, you've got to watch the video.
It's on YouTube?
It is on YouTube.
So do you make money on this? How do you do this?
I monetize it in various ways and always looking for partners to make that happen. So let's talk, Leo.
Oh, yeah, we should hire you. I mean, we should just period
definitely.
Hire you.
Definitely. You should definitely do that.
I think I don't want to slow you down.
Oh, no. I can definitely take you to a different level, Leo.
How many times have I heard that before?
So I was at the Madden Bowl party from EA Sports, and I realized I didn't know who was playing.
You didn't know?
I didn't.
You're at the party? The freaking Super Bowl party, and you didn't know who was playing?
So you're watching right here.
Let's hear this guy talk.
Let's start it from the beginning. I'm going to set this up for you. Okay. We're watching here as we talk to a really intelligent Airbnb engineer to see if he knows who's playing in the Super Bowl in his Soul City.
Tell you what, let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll show people what they saw this week on Twits. There's some good stuff. It was a good week. A little bit of highlights. And then we'll come back and we'll visit with That Tech Girl. What did we see this week, Jason?
Previously on Twit.
If you want to understand why people use Snapchat, it's fun.
I am a moron.
All right.
And I am going to replay that and replay that.
This Week in Computer Hardware.
They're going to show it at GDC in March. The ability to build worlds in Unreal Engine using VR. I think in this case they're using a Vive.
Tech News Today.
We react to YouTubers trying to copyright reactions.
It's very likely that you would have known them by their series of React videos.
Oh, yeah.
The Fine Brothers announced initiatives to create something called React World. Do you want to make your own React videos? Go ahead and pay us for a license. Then people started snooping around and realizing they filed a trademark for the word React.
What?
Should we contact them? Should we write a check to the Fine Brothers?
What?
This Week in Google.
This is from Edward Snowden's trove of documents. The program, Optic Nerve, saved one image every 5 minutes from millions of Yahoo chat users' feeds, it would appear a surprising number of people use webcam conversations to show intimate parts of their body to the other person, sometimes to be used for broadcasting pornography.
I would generally define nudity as desirable. I don't
know. Well, that's what's wrong with spies. They're making war, not love, Jeff.
Twit. Join the chat room and watch us watching you.
We had a lot of fun. I hope you'll come back every week. Watch Tech News Today, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right at midnight UTC for your daily dose of tech news. Actually, I think, is Jason here? Do we have a week ahead?
No.
No. He went home early. He's fired! No. But there will be a lot of good tech news coming up. Actually, we're going to go to Mobile World Congress. I think we have people going to Barcelona for a Mobile World Congress end of the month. Lots of new smartphones. Now, let us see what that tech girl found out when she asked geeks.
We did Ask a Techie.
If they knew who was playing in the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Let's roll it.
The Oprah of Silicon Valley?
You're sitting next to me.
Wow.
Who is playing in the Super Bowl?
The Broncos and someone else.
And who? This is Ask a Techie. Who is playing in the Super Bowl?
No idea. No idea. Does he care? No, he does not.
He's got two friends with him.
You
want to be a friend?
You got two friends here.
Lifeline. Get a lifeline.
I know it's not. I know it's not Steelers.
It's not the Steelers. That's as good a name for the Panthers as any. Not the Steelers.
You got 15 seconds. Ask a techie. Who is playing in the Super Bowl?
No one. No one's playing.
Nine.
You know why?
Eight.
Because geeks don't care about sport ball.
Five, four, three.
And that was the point that I was trying to make.
He doesn't even care that he doesn't care.
He doesn't know.
No, he doesn't know. He doesn't care. He doesn't know.
He was the second engineer that I found to actually be a part of Ask a Techie. And I found a Salesforce engineer. And the interesting thing with that is we were walking along Market Street and we ran into actual NFL players. And I got them to be a part of
They know who's playing.
Oh, they did.
Yes.
They did know who was
playing.
Gosh,
I would hope
and they,
so.
And they were actually a part of the Cleveland, is it Bears? Browns. Browns. They played for that team.
And now you know why we're doing a show during the Super Bowl.
Welcome to Tech Super Bowl.
Philip wrote a great article in Fortune this week. You actually you quote Mark Andreessen's tweet. Apple trades like a steel mill on its way out of business. You're talking about the Apple stock price, which despite the fact that Apple announced last week the most successful quarter in the history of American finance.
The history of capitalism.
The history actually. Of capitalism.
Wow. I love that.
That their stock price went down.
Right.
They are trading like a steel mill on its way out of business.
Can you show the graph that's an interactive graph behind it?
Okay. It's interactive. I can click and do things.
So here on the first one, you're seeing price per earnings.
Well, Amazon, by the way, this is it used to be more like 800 or 900.
Yeah, it halved last week.
It halved,
week.
Yeah.
All right. And then
Apple's is $10.
They're not counting the cash. If you take the cash out, it's $8.
Wow. Now let's look at cash flow. Woo! Quite the opposite. Amazon $6, Netflix $4, Facebook $6, Apple $57.
These are billions.
That's in billions, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was $6, actually. I should have said $6 billion. Yeah. Wow. Now, what is free cash flow? What does that mean? That's income, revenue?
No, that's how much cash you're generating.
Wow. Yeah.
It's like profit.
So, except you can't spend it, because what could you buy for $57 billion?
Well, the trouble is it's all overseas. Not all of it. Most of it's overseas. So what they can do is open Chinese Apple stores and take banks and old buildings in Europe and fix
them up. Why is the stock market so down on a company that's doing so well?
That's a great question.
Because the market... it's an actually very interesting question. It rewards growth, and Apple... stopped growing this quarter.
See, I think that's a failing of our American stock market. That's why Twitter is struggling, even though they have enough cash to run for another 412 years. They're struggling because they don't grow.
Right. The other thing is the market, it's really betting on what the next guy is going to be willing to pay for this stock. So it really has very little to do with fundamentals. They're saying, okay, right. what's the next sucker going to pay? And
right.
and then the other thing is they disappointed the analysts.
Right.
And it's all that's the other part of the stock market. You set expectations, and if you can beat them, the stock goes up. And if you don't beat them, the stock goes down. Except with Apple, the rule is no matter what they do, the stock goes down.
I know. Sell on the news. Any news. Doesn't matter if there's good news, whatever. Just sell on the news. It is kind of interesting that it's a vicious cycle. It's a self-reinforcing cycle. How much is the next guy going to pay? Well, I'm not going to pay that. And it just kind of depresses the stock. Yeah, but it also has the opposite effect on high flyers where it's inflated.
We're so far removed from the original idea of the stock market, which is you need to raise some money for a company, so you sell a piece of your company to raise the capital. Apple doesn't need the capital, and they're getting killed by algorithms, I think.
Yeah.
You know, these machines that see which way things are trending, and they just accelerate the trend all the way down until it's going to go the other way, and then they accelerate it all the way up. Eventually, if things are rational, it's Lady Gaga singing. I can't talk to you.
That's not rational. That's we're back to the Super Bowl, apparently. Like, quick, let me fire up CBSSports.com, and she's doing the national anthem. I missed it.
Yeah.
I'm TiVoing it. It's okay. I was going to TiVo it to skip the game and watch the commercials, but now maybe I'll do.
That's the only thing I'm interested in is the commercials.
Yeah. I'm going to do that on YouTube.
$5 million. Squarespace is definitely using Kay and Peele for their commercials.
Really?
Yeah. That must have cost a little bit, huh?
Oh, wow. Now, actually, I kind of want to just watch that.
They're
right
great.
Now.
Don't you love them?
They're so funny. Didn't they cancel their show?
They retired or something.
Yeah.
They decided they didn't want to do it anymore so they could make the big money doing commercials for Squarespace, apparently. I'm not sure. I think that's really... telling. And I really do think that there's a whole thing going on where it's bragging rights.
Oh, it's right? Corporate.
Oh, yeah. We bought it. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, we can afford that. We believe in it. Apple got a fairly large legal decision against them. A company called VernetX sued Apple and over infringement. VernetX, interesting, only has 14 employees. Has a little office in Zephyr Cove, Nevada. They don't really make anything. They filed suit in Tyler, Texas.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah. That's no, a Texas. That's where we were going to go if the podcast lawsuit had gone through. Tyler, Texas. It was a patent infringement suit, and I think VernetX qualifies as a non-practicing entity, aka a patent troll. They said that Apple infringed on patents. In communications patents protocols in iMessage, FaceTime, VPN on demand, as well as Apple devices using the software. The jury found Apple guilty on all claims and ordered Apple to pay VernetX and its 14 employees $625.6 million.
That's a successful exit.
Apple has filed for a mistrial.
They often get these reduced. Wow. As they pursue them, Apple will. They could spend that much money fighting this suit. I don't know what the economics are, but they.
It's a shame the suit wasn't in China because they have a lot more cash over there.
Yeah, why don't they do that? they could solve a lot of problems.
the justification for mistrial is in the closing arguments. Apparently, they used arguments outside the evidence. They broke the rules misrepresented the testimony of Apple's witnesses. You know, I think that's probably, once you lose a $625 million lawsuit, all you're trying to figure out is, well, how can we keep this thing going? How can we avoid writing the check? That's not an insignificant check. As much money as Apple has, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Samsung.
A lot of money. And, I think that the word patent troll, I think it maligns trolls. Trolls at least give nice riddles and they're working the bridge. I think that's something that we can talk about.
Yeah.
But, I think that the entire, this trial goes all the way back to 2010, where when they first sued them, and then it was they won on that one. Then it was overturned, and now they're going back. And it's one of these things of that, you know, we blame the patent trolls, but really U.S. patent law is quite broken. And when you have, you know, the patent office, you know, has this habit of issuing patents for things that they really do not understand, and they're not they're really, really vague. And then we have these non-practicing patent trolls that are not using anything. They're just really there to win litigations. And, you know, VernetX has been really successful. They've sued many big companies, but they won 20 million. They were settled a 200 million lawsuit against Microsoft. Wow. And so this encourages them to keep at it. And unfortunately,
it bankrolls
Tyler, Texas and Marshall, Texas, they win. You just they're there for a reason, because they're very biased towards patent holders.
Right.
Maybe biased.
We were told. So we as some of you know, there was a podcast patent troll since defunct. But they sued a number of well-known podcasts, including Adam Carolla, saying that they had invented podcasting. They were quoting a particular clause of a patent that they got many years ago, like 95, I think. And it would have been held, I think, in Tyler, Texas. We hired a firm. I didn't talk about it at the time because we, on the advice of counsel, we said, they said, don't talk about it. You don't want to attract attention. But they didn't sue us. We got a demand letter for a ridiculous amount of money. I can't remember what it was, like $2.5 million. And, since I knew that even in worst-case scenario, defending it would cost about $1.5 million, I thought, well, why would I pay you $2.5 million if I could defend it for $1.5 million? So we were actually prepared. We hired a law firm. I gave money to the EFF. The EFF actually was, I think, part instrumental in dismantling the case, because there are two ways you can pursue a patent case. You can, of course, go to court. Mm-hmm. The problem with Tyler, Texas and Marshall, Texas is, as you say, these are juries that tend to be in favor of the little guy, right? And it's very often portrayed that the big company came along and ripped off the little guy's invention, and justice needs to be done here, and the juries go along with it. There's also, I was told, the judge, there's a particular judge in one of the jurisdictions who just loves these cases. And and really kind of embraces them, and does feel that very strongly, that this is a case of, you know, the little guy standing up to the big guy. It was a little harder.
Revenue for the town, too.
Oh, absolutely, because all of these companies have little offices in the town.
I think they get a piece of the case, piece of the award. Interesting.
I think that's how they fund it, actually, the city.
Oh, well, wow, I didn't know that. Wow.
That's better than a speed trap. Patent trials are filed there.
Amazing. I thought it was just because they were kind of favorable for the plaintiff, but I guess there's more to it than that. It's an industry.
What happened with your case?
Well, so the other way you could fight it, if you don't want to fight it in court, is to go to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Organization, office, I mean. Office. It turns out that there are so many patents filed in the U.S., and there's so few experts and so little expertise that in general, the way the patent office works is they'll approve the patent and say, let the court settle it if it's not a good patent. Mm-hmm. They kind of expect there to be a certain amount of litigation around many of these patents. So it's not quite rubber stamped, but they don't spend a lot of time looking for prior art, things like that. So another way you can pursue it, and this is what the Electronic Frontier Foundation elected to do, is something called an inter partes suit, where you go to the patent and trademark office and you say, we want to contest the patent.
Right.
Now, our attorney told us this is a very risky move. If you win, it's only $100,000. You know, it's not expensive compared to a trial. But if you lose, it becomes very hard to win against a jury, because then the opposing attorney says, well, you know, they tried to get this patent overturned. They went back to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office and they did everything they could. And you know what the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office said? They said our patent is good.
Is that your Texas accent?
Yes.
That's not bad.
You don't like it?
I'm a Texan.
Yeah, I know you are.
That's terrible.
We don't talk like that in Texas.
Well, you're making me feel quiet at home right now.
I just submit that this is a company here. This is here a company. I don't know.
That was a Texas accent in 1932.
I got the suspenders and... Anyway, no, in fact, the attorney that was representing the podcast troll was from New York. And our attorney said that's actually tactically a mistake on the part of the non-practicing entity, because generally you want a good old boy lawyer down there. You don't want anybody from New York with those New York values
definitely
coming down here. So there were other technical mistakes that this company pursued. They, in other words, they weren't very good at being a patent troll. For instance, the demand letter, you're not supposed to ask for so much money because that incents people to fight you. You want to do is ask for less than it would cost to fight. You know, we will settle this for $100,000. But apparently they didn't know much. And so the good news is the EFF took the risk, a risk that had it been up to me, I probably wouldn't have taken. I would have followed Adam Carolla's plan, which was to meet him in court. Carolla was said, we're going to fight this. And he raised money. He had a crowdfunding campaign and everything. But fortunately, the EFF prevailed, and the Patent and Trademark Office did, in fact, overturn the patent. So the whole thing just went away. Not that it will go away forever, because there's lots of companies like this, non-practicing entities, who it's a business model. In fact, shamefully, I think one of Microsoft's smartest people, Nathan Myhrvold, actually has a business kind of essentially doing this.
They've got thousands of patents too, don't they? They patented every idea they could think of.
And acquired many, 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 many more.
Have they actually sued anybody yet?
Oh, see, here's the thing. That's interesting because it's called Intellectual Ventures. And he founded it in 2000. They have 40,000 patents in their portfolio.
Oof.
Most of them were not created by them, but were acquired by them. And then the question is, well, what is happening with these patents? And it seems to be the case. If you listen, there was a really good podcast put together by This American Life on this subject. And I think the Planet Money guys also did a good podcast on this. But it turns out that there are a lot of shell companies that seem to have been started by Intellectual Ventures that are doing the actual suing. I don't know if Intellectual Ventures was founded to sue. You see right on the front page, license our patents, buy our patents, sell your patents. So their business really is as a patent marketplace. I imagine that's what Myhrvold, who is, this guy's got a lot going for him. He was chief strategist and chief technology officer at Microsoft. He's quite a brilliant guy. My guess is he wanted to create a patent marketplace, but, they have $3 billion in licensing revenue. So clearly there is a business in this. And yes, they haven't gone to court, but the evidence is apparently that they've created some shell companies to pursue these patents in court. Hey, here's a question mark for you. Is Amazon really going to open 400 bookstores? And what the hell?
I hope so.
Is that crazy talk?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this doesn't come from Amazon. This comes from a mall CEO, a guy who runs a mall company, the chief executive of General Growth Properties. He was on an earnings call and probably somewhat inopportunely said, well, you've got Amazon opening brick-and-mortar bookstores. Their goal is to open, as I understand, 300 to 400. I can't imagine Amazon was too happy about that news leaking out.
He's off the Christmas list.
Yeah. the real question is that really what Amazon's thinking? Why would you open a single bookstore, which they did in Seattle, let alone 400 bookstores?
The only reason that I could think,
go ahead, George,
for them to do that would be to, directly compete against, other brick and mortar stores and force them to close down, because it's so much more expensive to carry stock and to deal with, building and people and issues that comes up with, whereas they're so successful with the business model that they have now.
Well, one theory I heard was that they might use it as shipping way stations.
Ah, not stores at all, or just as long as you got the stores, space. Have a little showroom. See, they do have stuff. I think they could put the Echo there, the Kindle Fire there, and I guess some books. I don't.
Do you have that cartoon, Leo?
Yes, this is Joy of Tech, right? Yeah. Nitro, Zach, and Snacky, who are wonderful. In fact, they do our album art. Let me see if I can... you got the link? I know it's in the doc. Let me pull it up here. Whoops.
It was in the email. I don't know if it made it to the doc.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. Here it is. The Amazon story or experience as envisioned by Nitrazak and Snaggy. They do. They now work for Recode, which is great. First of all, you walk up to a telepresence device with a human in the screen. Hello, George Smith of 25 Pine Street. Welcome to the Amazon store. I am Bezos 3000, your personal assistant robot. Wow, awesome. Your online data indicates you've previously purchased many books on overcoming laziness. Would you like to visit our procrastination section?
Okay, but keep it quiet. Everyone can hear you.
I've noticed your online shopping cart has an item in it that was never purchased. Would you like to buy that sexy babe's calendar now?
No, and please quit telling everyone what I've looked at online.
Your purchase history includes several books on mental illness. Would you like me to escort you to our self-help mental illness section? By the way, do you need more rash cream for your itchy scrotum?
Ah, shut up!
Did you know President Obama knows exactly what he's doing? Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong. I'm sorry. Wrong robot.
Let go of me. That was an act of self-defense.
This is precisely why we recommend the How to Control Your Fits of Rage book a few weeks ago. Yeah, that's good. I like it. That is one concern, of course. Amazon does know everything.
Especially if you have an Echo.
They're not listening to me.
They're listening, Leo.
Really? Do you think so?
I don't think so. No. I know so.
No. Definitely. Why would they listen? What are they believe me, if they're listening to my house, they're not hearing anything good.
It's not that they are listening. It's that they could be listening.
No, they could be. Everything could be. There could be bugs in the walls from the Russian embassy.
Well, no, but it's so much harder to make bugs in the wall versus, you know, the government asking to turn on your internal mic on your phone or computer.
I did actually install this particular bug myself. In fact, like it so much,
I bought a second one.
That's true. That's a good point. All right, let's take a break. I got to hustle along here. Got to move along. Got stuff to talk about. And apparently there's a game going on. Our show today brought ads.
The ads have started.
Have they started? Damn it. I'm missing the ads. How many times have you said that? Damn it. I'm missing the ads. Don't miss this ad because we love Audible. I am an Audible fanatic, have been since the year 2000 when I first joined Audible. Audible saved me from road rage more times than I can count. Well, seriously, I had a 2-hour commute. On a good day, it could be 4 hours on a bad day to San Francisco from Petaluma and driving back and forth to Tech TV. And, after the 80th time I heard Hit Me Baby One More Time, I decided I should listen to something more edifying than Britney Spears on the radio. Mm-hmm. So I started listening to audiobooks. And Audible, mm-hmm. in those days, it was very early. You know, I had a Diamond Rio MP3 player and it was complicated to get the book on there. Now it's easy. Now it's great. You know, it's on your phone. It's on your laptop. It's everywhere you want to be. Great books read by the best readers ever. I'm listening now because I'm all excited about going to see Hamilton. I want to go see the Broadway show Hamilton. I don't have tickets or anything, but I'm aspirationally thinking. So I got the Ron Chernow biography of Hamilton, which is awesome. 36 hours and 59 minutes of revolutionary ardor. Okay, you're not into that? How about the life-changing magic of tidying up? Have you read Marie Kondo's masterpiece yet, Georgia Dow?
No, I haven't.
Do you know about it?
No, I don't.
Oh, my God. It's all the rage now. Maybe it hasn't gotten to Canada yet.
Exactly. We always have to wait like another 6 months.
I don't know. Your room looks awfully tidy.
I won't turn the camera around.
Okay.
It's not really.
Okay.
This side is.
This is an inspiring book. Marie Kondo.
It's on decluttering.
It's no. See, that's the problem. She says,
sorry.
She says, if you think in those terms, you're going to relapse immediately.
Oh, sorry.
No. What you have to do is you go through all your stuff by category, not by location. So you start with clothes. That's the easiest because you're going to end with personal mementos. That's the hardest.
Okay.
And you look at each item and you say, does it spark joy?
That's a good plan. That's a good plan. We did a show a long time ago about decluttering, and I would like take. like, you know, everything off and then, like, you know, you put it into three piles. This one I like. This one makes me feel good.
No, no. She says that's too complicated. Yeah, like- it's binary. Does this spark joy? If it doesn't, you thank the item for its service.
Exactly. I've done this.
I like that.
You've done this?
Yes.
And you say goodbye. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, if you do this properly and you go through and you do it in a big swoop, because what you want is like this perfect Zen-like experience of your new clutter-free environment, she says, because the magic of that will make sure you never clutter it again. Because you love it so much, you just put things away from now on. It's not about getting better containers. It's not about, it's about getting rid. Anyway, this is not an ad for this.
You did that on audio. You did that on Audible.
I am listening to it on Audible, and I love it.
Are you listening or actively executing what she's
saying? I'm gearing up. I don't want to do it until I've listened to the whole book, and I'm trying to spread this book out a lot. It's only 4 hours and 50 minutes. It's taken me months. But I want to get it right. I want to know every detail before I begin. Mm. You don't want to make
that
any
mistakes. That sounds like a stall tactic to me, Georgia.
I suspect I should go to the procrastination section of the bookstore.
Right.
There's so much. There's science fiction. There's fiction. I just got the latest. I'm a huge William Gibson fan. Just got the latest William Gibson. Audible is a great, and you got kids, you have, you don't have daughters though, Georgia, do you? Because
I don't have daughters.
See, if you had a girl, I'd say read her The Secret Garden. I don't know if boys would be as into this. Maybe they would. Gosh, I remember reading this to my kid. And the thing is, it turns out, you might think, oh, I don't want to get my kids audiobooks, then they won't read. No, research shows it actually turns them into readers because they start to love the book, then they pick up the book. Francis Hodgson Burnett's classic, The Secret Garden. Harry Potter, all of them, so beautifully read by Jim Dale. He really brings them to life. I can go on and on. Here's the deal. We're going to get you two books. If you've never... Oh, interesting. In a Different Key, The Story of Autism. Mm. Interesting. I think this is something you would probably want to read. There's stuff for professional development. They have the entire catalog of the great courses, which means these are the best college courses, the best college lecturers. And so physics and geography and any subject you'd be interested in. Oh, look at Hamilton, The Revolution by Lin-Manuel Miranda, the guy who wrote the... Oh, man, I got to read this too. He's going to make a book. This is from the play. Anyway, I'm sorry. You see how easily I get distracted? I love Audible. You will love it too. If you haven't listened to audiobooks, maybe you're a little nervous about the whole idea. Get two books free right now. Go to audible.com/twit and the number 2. You'll be signing up for the Platinum account. That's 2 books a month. But your first month's free, so you can cancel in that first month. You keep the books, but you'll pay nothing. You also get the Daily Digest of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. So many great books. Maggie Gyllenhaal reading Sylvia Plath's A Bell Jar.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
Scarlett Johansson reading Alice's Adventures in Wonderland.
I love Audible, and I love really long books because they'll last
me
for
too.
Weeks and
me
weeks.
Too.
So I'm just looking at The Power Broker by Robert Caro.
Oh, I love that. That's the Lyndon Johnson biography.
66 hours. I just finished The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich about Hitler. 57 hours.
William M. Shirer, one of the great histories.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I'd like to listen to that again. So if you're interested in World War II, there's a really good book. It turns out that a lot of the research from Shirer's time, you know, Shirer covered it for the...
Yeah, he was there.
He was there. But what we knew is what from the Allies' side. What we didn't know is from the Russians' side. So a lot of that Russia after the fall of the Soviet Union, a lot of the Russian documentary information about World War II has emerged, and there was a new book written on World War II, new history, which incorporates much of the new information. I wish I could find this. I'll find it for you. I read it on Audible. Listen to it on Audible. People get mad when I say I read it on Audible. It's like reading. I got every word.
Definitely.
Somebody read it to me. So I'm lazy.
Well, it's nice because you can do that passively while you're doing other things. Okay. So if
Bingo.
You're, you know, you can't really watch TV while you're doing all of the cleaning in your house
right.
or if you're decluttering or avoiding decluttering
uh-huh,
and doing
uh-huh.
something else.
You see what I'm
you
saying?
You can listen to a book and then you don't feel like you're wasting your time. And I love the idea of road trips. We listened to Dune on a road trip all the way to Florida and it was great.
Wow.
So we got something. It kept everyone awake. We were interested. It was fun. Kept the kids quiet.
It's great with the kids.
I don't let them use tech on road trips. So
yeah, if you're doing road trips, having an audiobook that everybody likes. We did listen to The Ups and Downs of Being Brown, which was fabulous. Holes. These are all young adult. They've
right,
got great
right,
young
yeah.
adult fiction. I'm such a fan of Audible. Anyway, I don't know. We've made this an 18-hour commercial for some reason. But you know why?
Because we like it.
Because we like
that's
it.
Good.
That's really why.
We actually use it. Yeah, definitely.
It's fun because a lot of our hosts are Audible fans. So like when Paul Thurrott and I are doing Windows Weekly, we'll do the same thing. We'll go, oh, have you listened to it? In fact, he's the one who told me about the World War II history. I'm still looking for that. Audible.com/twit2. Your first two books are free. Here it is, Philip. The Storm of War, A New History of the Second World War. If you just finished The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, this would be a good companion volume because it has all this new information from the Soviet side,
great.
Which I found. And this guy is a very, very good writer. I love this stuff. History, nothing better. Audible.com/twit2. Frankly, Audible's more interested than... Actually, you know what? Amazon and the bookstores, they could have audiobooks from Audible. They own Audible.
Definitely.
They could have, oh, it'd be fun. Oh, man. As long as you're going to open something as retro as a bookstore, let's get listening booths. And you could go in and listen to a record and see if you like it. Or listen to an audiobook.
I think you went one too far with records. But I think we were on board.
Been there,
with
done
you.
That.
The new.
We were definitely on board with you on that one, Leo.
Do you remember Philip Elmer DeWitt going to record stores and listening to records in little booths?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's...
Now you just steal it from the internet.
Yeah, you just steal it. Yeah, I'm sampling. Actually, with Spotify, you're not even stealing it. You just...
No, same thing for you.
It's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
By the way, Jeff Bezos is worth $57 billion. That makes him number 4 on the list of the richest people on Earth. And the world's richest tech CEO, eclipsing Larry Ellison, Mark Zuckerberg, Larry Page, Sergey Brin, $57 billion. And that's with kind of an artificially reduced stock price. I mean, if it really...
Is this Forbes list?
No, this is... So Business Insider's doing it with WealthX.
Oh.
And I don't know how this compares to the famous Forbes list. It should be fairly close, I would think. Bezos has 18% stake in Amazon. So that's part of the reason. He still owns 18% of Amazon. I hope he's...
So when you hit those kind of numbers, they're numbers I couldn't comprehend.
Yeah.
It's just too much. I don't understand how much money he must have.
Did you all read the article? I thought this was really interesting. Actually, it was a study called Going Dark, coming out of the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard. It was a study of the landscape of government surveillance, for a want of a better word. Don't panic, making progress on the going dark debate. And the debate is really kind of formulated by, on the one hand, the director of the FBI, James Comey, who says, we're going dark. We can't read the bad guys' communications anymore because they're using modern encryption, and we need a way to read modern encryption. And on the other hand, company, believe it or not, places like the NSA, who's saying, "Oh no, encryption! Everybody needs that," which is weird. We talked on Monday. I did a triangulation. It was a great episode of triangulation with. Guy who was a former advisor to Hillary Clinton for 4 years as Secretary of State, so he worked in government.
Alec
Ross, yeah. His new book was about new industries that are springing up thanks to technological innovation. But he said the government is not monolithic on this. There is an active split in government between those like Comey who think we got to have back doors, and those like believe it or not, he says the NSA, who says, no, you can't have a backdoor. That makes everything insecure.
Right. The NSA actually knows how it works, as opposed to
yes, Congress, which doesn't, and Comey, right. which doesn't. But anyway, this Berkman study maybe should help them understand a little bit better, because they say more than the resources for law enforcement today are more than adequate to tracking suspects, thanks to the Internet of Things technologies, everything packed with sensors and wireless technology. Doesn't matter if they can't read the messages. They know everything else. So this is an interesting response. Everybody should. If you don't want to download and read the PDF, which is available from the Berkman Center, you can read articles like this from the New York Times, David E. Sanger. New technologies give government ample means to track suspects, study fines. And I hope members of Congress at least read this. And state legislators, because that's the other thing that's happening. Okay, I want to be careful here because I'm sure there's some intelligent state legislators. But if there's anybody dumber than a member of Congress, it's a member of the state assembly. That's a guy who couldn't get to Congress. Is that wrong to say? Is that a bad thing to say?
I think it's a bad thing to say to them.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it in person. Yeah. If you're listening and you're a member of the state assembly, it's not you I'm talking about. But it turns out in a number of states, of course, including California, members of the local legislatures are proposing really bad idea, backdoor stuff. Maybe they could read this as well.
They're not really saying that they want the, like, they're saying they want the backdoors to track terrorists, but really they want to snoop on other members so that they can use that as leveraging tools in order to change people's votes, deal with what they're saying, find out which way definitely people lean. It's more about information than it is actually to track people, because you can see that the statistics show that they really haven't use this to catch terrorists.
Yeah, the California Assemblyman Jim Cooper submitted a bill which is very similar to one also submitted in New York State that would require device manufacturers and operating system vendors who want to sell devices in California after January 1st of next year to provide a crypto backdoor.
Oh, geez.
You want to do business in California, wow, you better hobble your system. Fine of $2,500 for every device that doesn't comply. And of course, if California passed such a bill, it wouldn't matter that the rest of the country didn't, because, you know, Apple's going to want to sell iPhones in California, I think. Just incredible. And by the way, they never say it's, they always say it's for things like we got to stop trafficking. That's the excuse he used. We got to stop trafficking.
I don't think they want to spy on other politicians. I think they just think it's a political win for them.
Maybe.
They think they're going to get votes if they take this stand, and they're ignorant. They don't know how encryption works.
Well, now this guy is a former law enforcement officer. He says,
the cops think they need it.
Right.
Yeah.
He says you can get a warrant for pretty much anything and everything. Not quite true, but you can get a warrant for pretty much anything and everything, but not for an iPhone or an iPad. That's mind-boggling. There is a point to be made there. In fact, Steve Gibson, our own security guy, has pointed that out. He says, you can, if I have a locked box in my house with my plans for taking over the, U.S. government, law enforcement, if they have reasonable cause, can go to a judge, can get a warrant, can come in, can open that box. Mm-hmm. But I can put it on my iPhone, and they could still get a warrant, but they don't have the technological means to unlock the iPhone. So Gibson says there's reason to say, there's precedent for saying there should be some way to issue a search warrant for this. The problem is the back door.
Yep.
What he says, Apple should just go back to the way they used to do it, which is just don't encrypt the iPhone.
Right, but Apple is encouraging people to pay for bills and pay for stuff, to replace your credit card with your phone. And if you're going to be doing that, if you're going to be banking through your phone, you want it to be safe. You don't want it to have a backdoor. And it won't work if there's a backdoor, because then if you know there's a backdoor, then people are just going to spend the rest of their lives trying to open it.
So actually, you cover Apple, so I'm curious what your thought is on this, because, of course, this is a great selling point for Apple. They can say reasonably, we're the only company that truly cares about your security and privacy.
Right. Right. There, it's it doesn't cost them anything to make hay this way, and it hurts their competitors because they can say, look at Google and Facebook and everybody. Yeah. So it's there's a word for it that Ben Thompson uses. I forget what it is. Something like a strategy advantage. it's free for them,
right?
And it costs their it would cost Google a fortune to give up what Apple doesn't sell. You know, I'm not saying that quite right, but yeah.
No, I know what you're saying. And in a way, you know, one of the reasons I like Android and I like Google Now is because Google does know more about me. So Google Now, we were talking about that earlier, is very knowledgeable and knows when I'm going on a flight. So if I show up at the airport, it can put up the QR code for the ticket because it happens to know that.
Well, I love that it tells me to go to the airport.
Knows where my car is.
It will tell me you need to leave if you want to be on time. Here's your car. Here's where you're going. I love that.
Apple doesn't want to do because that would be creepy.
They actually do that. They tell you it's time to leave.
Right.
I think that it changes, though. So that Google's model is the more the information they know, the better they can sell you ads, and that makes Google more money. Versus Apple, it's selling you products, and so it doesn't need to have that information to make more money. And so since we are their main customers, they want to keep us safe first versus Google. And so I don't want to give up my privacy for safety when the data does not support that we would actually be any more safe by me giving up my privacy.
Here's actually some great advice from the Attorney General of the great state of Maryland. This comes from Motherboard, Joshua Kopstein. The state Attorney General of Maryland is taking an aggressive stance on the use of cell phone trackers, saying, if you don't want to be tracked, turn off your phone.
Thanks.
You laugh, but that's true.
They use stingrays. You know, these are phony cell sites that intercept your phone traffic. Earlier this week, Brian Frosch challenged a Baltimore's court decision in the case of Karen Andrews. Frosch is the attorney general of the state of Maryland. Andrews was targeted by a stingray. He faces multiple. I mean, look at this is an interesting case because this guy is charged with multiple attempted murders. He told the court, you must dismiss these charges. This is unreasonable search and seizure. This is a Fourth Amendment right. The state said, well, cell phones are constantly revealing their location. So because Andrews uses a cell phone, he volunteered this information with third parties, including the police, just by keeping his phone on. The state brief says, while cell phones are ubiquitous, they all come with off switches. Because Andrews chose to keep his cell phone on, he was voluntarily sharing the location of his cell phone with third parties.
You see, I think that's like a little bit of like a solipsism, though, right? Like, I don't think that people mostly think that they're going to be tracked. I think that people first start from the feeling of, like, people, one, don't really understand the technology that they use. They assume that things are private that are not. And I think that because cell phones are so ubiquitous to our society and the manner in which we go through our day-to-day lives, it should be up to the government to make sure that we are safe and that our privacy and, you know, the Constitution is upheld first, not that would be, you know, a necessary means to an end. I think that if they, you know, they're tracking someone that's dangerous and they file to be able to subpoena to have the right, I think that sounds fair, but I don't think that just by using your cell phone, you should expect that, you know, well, there's a microphone on the cell phone and there's a camera. We could choose to turn that on at any point in time if we want, and that should be, I should give up my rights to thinking
well,
that my
question.
Own
is
life
that
is private to
are
it.
You consenting to it? Is it informed consent? You want to corn that?
I definitely agree with Georgia, and yeah, I like that, definitely.
Oh, they're terrible.
Are those the candy corns?
I think they're apple
they sponsors?
No, these are definitely not Nature Box. Put those back. They like apple flavored. Aren't they awful?
Please don't offer me
I
that
hate
again,
apple
please.
Who would make apple flavored corn nuts?
Oh,
what in, what kind of fiend? So apparently there are there's case law in this. In 2014, the Florida Supreme Court ruled that requiring a cell phone user to turn off their cell phone places an unreasonable burden on the user to forego necessary use of his phone, a device now considered essential by most of the populace. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, in 2013, a New York judge in a DEA case said, given the ubiquity and celebrity of geolocation technologies. Celebrity?
Strange.
Famousness.
Famousness. That's a better word. An individual has no legitimate expectation of privacy in the prospective location of a cellular telephone where that individual has failed to protect his privacy by taking the simple expedient of powering it off. That was in 2013. So we'll see. I mean, this is yet to be decided in the state of Maryland. But just keep in mind, you're giving the government permission to track you if you use a cell phone.
If you have a phone.
Yeah. Yeah, that Serial story, the first season of Serial where that she looked at a 15-year-old murder case, a lot of the evidence against this guy who was accused of killing his high school girlfriend was based on cell phone location.
Right.
I mean, it's what they use.
Same thing in To Make a Murderer, the Netflix, very controversial Netflix documentary about...
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, well, I won't say anything then. It's interesting. Have you seen it, Georgia?
I've read the rundowns on it when we discussed, you know, just some different psychological issues on the way that people feel about things. But yeah,
there was some cell phone evidence, I think, left out anyway of the documentary. But anyway, how about Error 53? Philip, I bet you're up on this one. And this is an example of Apple protecting a customer's security, even perhaps to the detriment of the customer. Mm-mm. And Apple has a good reason for this.
Yeah, what is it? If you used if you had someone fix your broken screen that wasn't Apple, the next time you updated your iOS, it bricked your phone.
Bricked your phone because you used an unofficial Apple repair service. Apple says that's because there is a tight connection between the fingerprint reader and a secure store on the phone that we need to keep secure. When you bring it to Apple to get it fixed, we will reassociate. But these third-party guys don't do it, so we have to break your phone. The Guardian broke this story, and they broke it because one of their own freelancers, Antonio Olmos, was covering the refugee crisis in Macedonia, dropped his phone. There are no Apple stores in Macedonia. So he went to a local shop. They repaired the screen and home button. It worked perfectly. He thought no more about it until he got offered iOS 9. He upgraded, got error 53, and the phone was bricked. He had to pay £270 for a replacement.
Was he the one who went back to the guy who fixed his phone and got the money back from him?
I don't think so, but that's an interesting
people have done
strategy.
That you go to a third party. If the third party guy said he was going to fix your phone and it turned out he bricked it.
Really? You blame the third party guy? I mean,
you can't blame the third party
guy. It worked
fine
when you got it back from him.
This is why you should have AppleCare.
There's no AppleCare in Macedonia. What are you supposed to do? Wait till you get back?
That's true. Well, no one, like, I guess they could have said that Apple should have warned people about this beforehand so that people wouldn't know. But it was one of these.
I think this is how they got a billion users.
Yeah.
This is definitely how they got there.
You do what Samsung does. You know, Samsung has a similar secure store, and they call it Knox, like Fort Knox. And if you violate it by, say, changing the firmware on your phone, Knox stops working, and Samsung won't allow, you know, says you can't use this for Samsung Pay because it's not secure anymore. And some programs like, I don't know, Netflix, some programs where there's Hollywood content will stop working because Hollywood says, well, you're not secure anymore. You might be pirating. But your phone still works.
Exactly. They're not going to brick you.
Right. The nature of that error message suggests to me that Apple didn't know about this. If they knew that it was going to happen, they would have had an error message that said, hey, your phone doesn't work.
Screw up, man.
They would have used English rather than...
It would have had an Apple logo.
So Friday, according to Apple Insider, Apple acknowledged it. And this is what Apple explained to The Guardian after their story. We protect fingerprint data using a secure enclave, which is uniquely paired to the Touch ID sensor. When an iPhone is serviced by an authorized Apple service provider or Apple retail store... For changes that affect the Touch ID sensor, the pairing is revalidated. The representative warned with an unofficial repair that pairing can go unvalidated and lead to error 53 once iOS is updated or even restored. People who contact the glitch should contact Apple support.
I love how they make even a PR statement like that into a sales pitch.
Basically, they're going to route you to sales.
And here's an additional statement that came now to Apple Insider. We take customer security very seriously. Error 53 is the result of security checks designed to protect our customers. iOS checks that the Touch ID sensor in your phone or iPad correctly matches your device's other components. If they find a mismatch, the check fails, and Touch ID, including for Apple Pay use, is disabled. The security measure is necessary to protect your device and prevent a fraudulent Touch ID sensor from being used. That's fine. If that's all they do is disable it, fine. But if they brick the phone, that's not fine. So maybe you're right, Philip. Maybe that's an unintended consequence. They meant just to... We didn't mean to brick your phone. Yeah. Just disable the Touch ID and Apple Pay.
You just can't buy things with it.
Right.
Let's see if they fix, it with the next update.
Right.
That would be good.
Yeah. Right. All right. Let's take a quick break and come back with some final thoughts from our great panel, Georgia Dow from iMore in beautiful Montreal, where it's a balmy, how much? 82 degrees. It's warm, isn't it? You're having a warm winter.
Oh, it's so very warm.
Toronto was 1 degree. So it's got to be cold in Montreal.
It's cold. It's not. It's like we've had really sketchy weather. I'm taking skiing lessons, and there's not much skiing happening.
Oh,
but
I'm sorry.
Got some snow, so that's good.
Great to have you as always. Also from Fortune.com, but soon to be from another site. What will it be called?
Apple 3.0.
Ooh, I like it.
I had Apple 2.0 before.
Will there be a dot in Apple 3.0?
Yeah.
So be like Apple3.0.com.
No. That was taken. It'll probably be PED30.com.
PED30.com. Yeah, because then you would have to own the O.com domain. And I doubt very much that's available.
Right. Also, shorter is better if I have to type it a lot.
I agree. I like PED for that reason. It's great to have you, Philip. And good luck. I'm really excited about this. I will subscribe.
It's good. 35 degrees in Greenfield.
Oh, it's not bad. It's above freezing. No.
Yeah, it snowed the other day. I went cross-country skiing yesterday.
Oh, and we are having some pretty nice weather here in the Bay Area for the Super Bowl. It's like in the 70s.
Day. Yes, it was very warm.
It was 72 today.
Yeah.
Our show today brought to you by FreshBooks.com. FreshBooks is the simple cloud accounting software for freelancers, anybody who makes their living billing for their time and expertise. What's your favorite part about running your business? Doing the stuff, right? You love doing the stuff. What you don't love is at the end of the month, you got to fire up Word or Excel and do the invoices. You got to get the... I used to have to get together. I would go up to Toronto to do their show, and I'd have to get the shoebox of invoices, of expense receipts, and put them in the invoice, and then keep track of the time and hours. Don't you hate that? That's not what you got in business.
I hate that. You get a business, you're all excited to sell videos, and then suddenly you have to do all the book work for it, and you're like, you know what? That's not any fun.
I hate that when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So this solves it for us, doesn't
it? Yes. The funny thing is, if you don't send the invoice, you don't get paid. I don't know why. Some reason you have to do that.
Yeah. The unfortunate part.
The reason I laugh about that is because I went 6 months without invoicing Rogers once.
Really?
And then that's bad. Yeah, because I just hated doing it. And then so I sent them an invoice for 6 months, which was a considerable invoice. And the bookkeeper called me and said, you can't do this. What are you thinking? I said, well, I forgot to invoice you. You can't do this. She said, if you do this again, I'm not paying it. I said, okay.
Oh, God.
okay.
I don't know if that's legal.
It's probably not, but
I
took it seriously.
After that.
I actually went to Amber and I said, what am I going to do? And she said, FreshBooks. This had just started up in Toronto. This was about 10 years ago. And since then, by the way, 5 million customers, really doing well. They are growing all the time. So they do the invoices, email invoices. That makes it very easy. They have an app that'll track time and hours. You could take pictures of receipts and expenses, and it goes right in the invoice.
Mm-hmm.
They've just announced their card reader. Now, this is cool. There are a lot of people who go to homes to do things, contractors, inspectors. And so you might, for instance, go make an estimate. So with the FreshBooks app, you can show the estimate, get the customer approval, do the work. Customer's standing there. You say, here's your invoice. I'll have this emailed to you. And here's my card reader. It's a EMV-enabled, so they can dip the chip or swipe the stripe and pay you right there. Talk about getting paid fast.
Wow.
So awesome. I am a big fan, and I used this for years until I finally, you know, I have a department of people helping me with this. Plus, I don't have to invoice myself because I pay myself without the invoice.
There you go. You won't forget to do that.
I won't forget that part. So here's the deal. If you're a freelancer, if you're still suffering through this monthly process, please go to FreshBooks.com/twit and get FreshBooks free for 30 days. FreshBooks.com/twit. And there's just one little favor if you would do this for me. When they ask, how did you hear about us? Tell them This Week in Tech. FreshBooks.com/twit. So we know that the Mobile World Congress is coming up at the end of the month. We're excited. February 21st, Samsung is going to announce its new phones, Galaxy S7. They've sent out invitations. We expect Apple will have a new phone, maybe a 4-inch screen, and a new Apple Watch, or at least some sort of update in March. Maybe. No, you don't think so?
Yeah. I don't think they'll do the hardware in March, no.
Is it just a software update?
Something about new bands, probably software update.
New bands I would be going to be March.
New bands? What kind of announcement
is that?
They
do March.
We got great new bands.
The Watch OS, but yeah. We're going to get the Watch OS. We're going to get the bands, and then we have to wait. We're going to have to wait a little while for the new phones.
It's just a rumor that they're going to do hardware, and I think everybody's backed off. Well,
they shouldn't do a smaller phone.
They should the 5SE. Yeah. That would make sense, but they shouldn't do a new watch because people will be irate.
Right. And I don't think I would be surprised if they unveiled their phone at Barcelona.
No, they're not going to do Mobile World Congress. They're going to do their own thing. In fact, it's amazing Samsung kind of still feels like they need to go to an event. That's old school.
Definitely.
There's a lot. I just want to get a little stories here. Samsung, by the way, Samsung's browser on Android now has ad blocking. Interestingly enough, didn't Google just kill an ad blocking browser blocking in its Google store? I think they did. By the way, IBM's Watson has picked Kia's Super Bowl influencers. I want to know who's going to win.
I think what they did is it's a Kia ad, and they somehow Watson has figured out who to get to tweet about the ad.
That's a good use of a brain bigger than a planet.
Yeah, they research through all social algorithms and they focus on who can actually make the greatest influence and impact for Hyundai.
Not Christopher Walken with a sock puppet. That is strange.
It's a very funny ad.
Okay.
But I'm paying attention.
No, don't watch. Yeah, we're missing these ads. I'm going to close that. Nope, don't watch it.
Don't ruin it, Leo.
There's a lot of stories about the puppy bowl in here. Jason. Jason likes dogs.
No, it's 360 dogs? VR.
That's
It's 360.
Who cares? It's the puppy bowl. I like dogs, but the puppy bowl, really?
You don't watch the puppy bowl?
No, you do.
Of course.
It's dopey. They don't do anything.
They play football.
No, they don't.
That is a very odd
definition of playing football. Watch. These are the puppies in 360. This, you say they're playing football here?
No, this is the pregame practice that they broadcast.
Oh, this is the
broadcast.
Practice.
Yeah, this is the pregame.
Oh, there's
one guy's chilling on the side.
Puppy Manning on the,
See, it's the official
that
practice
That one's itching. Why would you watch this?
Not just watch it, I'd attend it.
You'd go?
Definitely.
Well, apparently they don't let real people in, just paper cutouts.
I'm not going to say anything that would, incriminate me, but, I may have money riding on the Eskimo
part. Oh, no.
I have 50 on the schnauzer.
How do you win it?
Yeah, how do you win? Because I guarantee
first to,
look,
to score.
Look, there's a pass.
I'm not
going
to share that information.
He's going deep.
They're so cute.
I don't think 360-degree video makes this any more compelling. Just saying. Oh, and now,
music. NFL Films presents... It was a cold day on Lambeau Field when Puppy Manning took to the grass for his biggest day in history. Oh, he's making a poo-poo.
Okay, that's enough.
So you're wondering, Leo, how did I get into all the Super Bowl parties?
How did you get into all
how
the
Super Bowl?
I am
in.
Wondering that.
You are wondering that. I was actually with a very, very popular Pomeranian called Jif Pom.
Wait a minute. You got Here in because go. Of a dog?
A dog.
Okay. I take it all back.
You take it all back. So Jif Pom is an Instagram powerhouse. He has over 3 million followers. And he was able to get into all of the parties that the NFL players could not get into.
Oh, wait a minute. That
Jif Pom, I got to sit down and have an exclusive interview with him.
He looks like there's another dog that looks just like him. What's his name?
He walked in the NFL show, the NFL runway
he
show.
He is cute, actually.
He was at the Maxim party, the Playboy party. Every party you can imagine, he headlined.
Jif Pom is
Jif
his name?
Jif Pom. You got to find him. He's amazing. Jif Pom has over 3 million followers.
What is the world coming to?
I'm not following him, apparently. G-I-F-P-O-M?
J-I-F-F-P-O-M.
Oh, like the peanut butter, not like the graphics interchange format. Do you feel like, Philip, do you feel like sometimes the world has just left us behind?
No, I'm trying to stay with it.
I know, I am too, but I'm starting to understand why as you get older you start to think, I don't get the world anymore.
So that's him.
Oh, no.
That is the verified Jif Pom.
Wow.
And when verified? I said,
oh, I'm with the
really
dog,
Liberty?
They thought I was talking about friends.
He does. He has a check.
He's
a blue
he's
check.
He's verified.
2.1 million
that's
followers.
But what's his business model?
He actually does have a
he's
business model.
He's got a
model.
Website. I bet he does have a business model.
He does.
Look, see, look.
There
yeah.
Go.
He's got a calendar. He's got a
wow.
poster.
He's basically, he's got products.
He's
does
got
special.
A sizzle reel. Here's the Jif Pom sizzle reel. He was with Katy Perry in her
Pomeranian called Jif, and he was basically the star of the show, stealing all of my thunder.
A billion views.
That's Jif.
And it wasn't Katy Perry. Oh, no. They were there for...
And you all know how much I love Jif, the Pomeranian.
Oh, yes, we do.
But this morning, breaking news. It turns out he's a record setter. The Guinness World Records, in fact.
Jeez Louise. What? He can do handstands?
He's
talented.
Do you actually know Jif? Can you bring him to the next show?
That's how I got into all events. If you go to libertymadison.com or check out YouTube, you see videos of him doing all his tricks. Sit-down interview with him?
I think the chat room's got it right. He's paying Japanese dogs to follow, Chinese dogs to follow him on Instagram. I think so.
I think the world has no hope now.
I have seen them turn down NFL players. They let Jif Pom on the list.
Really?
I kid you not.
Oh, you're on the Browns. You can't get in. Oh, Jif Pom,
Jif
come
Pom,
on.
Come on in.
Wow.
That's what happened.
I think we should just wrap this up and go home and watch a football game. What do you say? Yeah, Georgia yeah, Dow. Yeah.
Following
Jif Pom. I'm more.com. I'm following Jif Pom now. You better believe
I'm not going to really
follow Come on, follow him.
No.
She's Georgia_Dow on Twitter. That makes it hard to find, but it doesn't matter.
That is another therapist, Georgia Dow.
Oh, man.
Many people might be following.
Hey, at least Sarah Lane had a ballerina named Sarah Lane.
Well, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Yeah.
I'm sure she's cooler than the ballerina, though, so
yeah.
She doesn't have to worry.
It's a battle for who's coolest. Which is the coolest, Sarah Lane. Thank you, Georgia. Great to see you.
Thank you. Can I mention that we have a new video up for
yes.
anxiety-videos.com, and it's on relaxation techniques for if you're feeling stressed out, and we also have our sleep video.
I'm not feeling stressed out. Why do you keep saying I'm feeling stressed out?
I would never say that, Leo. On air.
I bet you have patience to do that. What do you mean anxious? That.
I don't pray.
I don't pray.
I'm not expecting that.
This is actually a great site. A lot of great videos. Georgia does these with her partner, and there's sleep on here. It's just great stuff. And you know, I mean,
and it's in Canadian, so it's almost free. We're almost paying you to buy them.
they're apologetic during the yeah. No, it's
they
great.
Are.
It's
yeah.
really great. I highly recommend it. Anxiety-videos. .com. And your sleep series is still there, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. That was really good. I really enjoyed that. You can also buy DVDs if you have a DVD player.
Yes,
oh, no.
Or just download.
Digital download. Yeah, that'd be
just download.
Probably
them,
most
yeah.
people should do that.
Yeah. Most people probably do.
Thank you, Georgia.
Thank you.
Thank you to Philip Elmer DeWitt. We don't know the domain yet. We're thinking ped30.com, but his Apple 3.0 newsletter will be starting soon.
Real soon now.
That's exciting. Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the most entrepreneurial thing I've done since I delivered papers, I think.
You know, there's a lot of people like you and me who made our way in mainstream media for years and just decided to, I mean, that was the best thing I ever did, was decided to go it on my own. I've been very lucky as a result, but, you know, but I think it was a good move in hindsight. It's a little scary.
You don't have your Tesla yet, but it's coming.
As long as Elon's not mad at me.
Hope he wasn't listening to the show.
I hope you're not mad at me, Elon. No, he knows I love
him. Leo loves Teslas.
I love my Tesla. Actually, I'll probably be one of those. I already am. I don't even have it. I'm one of those insufferable people who can't stop talking about his car.
I know.
I can fully understand that.
The millennial version.
Well, what's cool is I have solar panels on the roof, so I'm just using the sun to drive around. I think that's
neat. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Makes me love feel good. That. It's so cool.
Pay no attention to the hot tub, the wine cooler, the lights burning all hours of the day and night, the 15 computers, the giant Minecraft server. Nothing. Pay no attention to that. My car is solar powered. Liberty, yeah. You're great. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you making your way up, even though you could be probably at some big Super Bowl event right now.
With Jif Palm.
With Jif Palm.
She could be with Jif. She's left Jif for us. That matters.
I did. I gave Leo my Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh,
that's how much I love Twit.
That's amazing.
Oh,
that's amazing.
God.
We have to make like a Liberty Loves Leo t-shirt with Jif Palm at the bottom.
I could brush my hair like that. I just, you know. It's all in the grooming. It's all in the grooming. I can walk on my hind legs and everything. I think.
It's talent.
Hey, we thank you all for being here, even on Super Bowl Sunday. You know what? We got a great live studio audience. Thank you for coming. I know you're bored, but that's okay. It's almost over.
Oh, are they asleep?
Let's see them. Let's see them.
Let's see them. Are they
asleep? She was drifting off.
Was she drifting?
Drifting off?
Oh, I think so. No.
It's the Jif Palm.
I didn't even think we were going to have a studio audience.
Said,
so
my
thank
God,
you,
how
studio
long
audience.
Does this go on for? They said it would be a short show. It was. Only 2 hours, 14 minutes. It's nothing. If you want to be in the studio audience, just email tickets at twit.tv. We'd be glad to have you. Somebody flew all the way from where?
Milwaukee.
To be here.
Yes.
That's
Man,
so cool.
I'm touched.
Dedicated I'm fans it. Here for Twit.
Isn't that nice? Yeah. We also thank you watching at home. A lot of live watchers. That's nice. But if you don't want to watch live and you can't make it to the studio, guess what? On-demand audio and video. Shh, don't tell anybody. Always available after the fact. Either go to twit.tv or our YouTube channel. We've got a great one. Actually, youtube.com/twit is the starting point. Each show has its own channel. There's also Twit Bits, little shorts from all the shows, including a whole product review playlist where we put all our product reviews. That's youtube.com/twit. You can also go to your favorite podcatcher, including there's 5 Apple TV apps, there's Roku, there's everything, iOS, Android, and subscribe, and that way you won't miss an episode. Thanks for being here, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Another Twit is in the can. Bye-bye.
Yay.
Puppy monkey baby.
What's happening?
Puppy monkey baby.
I don't know.
Right. Puppy monkey.
Oh.
Baby.
So scary.
Puppy monkey baby.
See, in order to get your attention, these ads puppy have to get baby. More and more puppy of prey.
It's wearing a diaper.
Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby.
Mountain Dew Kickstart. Dew, juice, caffeine.
Puppy monkey baby.
Well, it does get my attention.
I'm gonna have nightmares.
All right, I'm switching to the Super
Bye.
Bowl.
Have a good game.
I don't think anyone likes that.
See you, Philip. Take care.
That
thanks.
Was too much bye-bye. For Philip.